are recording. Adequate notice of this meeting as required by Chapter 231, PL 1975, has been provided by a public notice on January 3, 2017, which was posted on the bulletin board at the Roosevelt Post Office and in the Borough Hall. Notice was published in the Times and the Asbury Park Press. Now that we're all seated, would the clerk please call the roll?
Ms. Bona?
Here.
Mr. Hamilton?
Here.
Ms. Lapone?
Here.
Ms. Matthews?
Here.
Here.
Mr. Mack?
Here.
Mayor Hamilton?
Here. And thank you all for meeting here. As you know, tomorrow we have, or at least as most of you know, we have an election tomorrow. You can't hear me? Might be better off. Is this better? Can we turn it up? Yes. One, two, three. Can you hear me now? Okay. Welcome to Verizon. We are here because of the election tomorrow. Basically, what happens is that the staff has to set up for the election. Once that's done, the building is basically sealed. So it's either that or they do it after our meeting, and they have to be back at 5 in the morning to run the election. So it's kind of unfair to keep them here till 9 or 10, have them work for 2 more hours, and then come back at 5 and stay till 9 o'clock at night. So it's a very long day. I apologize in advance. This report is a little longer than usual. First of all, it's been, I think, 3 weeks, maybe 4 weeks since our last meeting. And it's been a very busy time in Lake Wobegon, as they say. So on Sunday, March 12th, I called an emergency preparedness meeting at the Borough Hall. It was a Sunday night in contemplation of the weather, which even Sunday was being forecast. The meeting is virtually the same as every meeting that's called before every storm by the mayor or its designee. And it's in the normal course. We check the people there at Public Works, utilities, other involved entities. Are the emergency crews in town? Are the trucks operational? Do we need to bring in extra snow plows? All the stuff that you would normally do for a pre-storm meeting. And that's attended generally by OEM, Public Works, Fire, Administration due to the election. Obviously the mayor, usually Environmental Health and Safety and Public Works, and First Aid, who was out of town at the time. On March 13th, ahead of the predicted snowstorm, I, together with our office staff and various county and state officials, were trying to determine whether to cancel the March 14th referendum. 4 other towns in New Jersey had scheduled elections for March 14th. The New Jersey Attorney General's office took the position that neither the borough nor the county had the right to cancel the election. According to the Attorney General, there are only 2 ways to stop an election. 1, the governor declares a state of emergency and specifically states that all elections are canceled. He doesn't normally do that. He didn't do that in this case. And of the 5 elections that were scheduled for March 14th, 2 of them did take place. The other alternative is the borough could go to court and obtain a court order for yet another election, and pay $8,000 to $10,000 in charges for the March 14th election. Understand that once we start an election, there's a series of costs that get incurred immediately by not going in and asking to close the election. We then get to either save those costs or, as we'll discuss in a minute, we get to try to get the county to pay them. So 13 county officials have to be in Freehold in order for an election to occur. 1 county poll worker needs to be or should be in Roosevelt. The county OEM advises that his office could get all county persons to Freehold. We advise the OEM that we could get the county poll worker to Roosevelt. At 1:30, we held a conference. This is leading up to something. At 1:30, we held a conference call with the county clerk, Christine Hanlon, the county OEM, the superintendent of elections, the elections commission, the county board of elections, the New Jersey Attorney General's office, the county attorney, and Mr. Shackley. Based on the weather reports at that point and the fact that two other towns were proceeding to their elections and the status of all our preparedness plans, all parties agreed that the election was going forward on March 14th. I went back to my home to get some work done. At 3:50, I received an emergent call from our attorney. The county apparently had determined that notwithstanding the state's position, the county didn't care. If they called a state of emergency, they were not going to let the OEM bring poll workers into Freehold, which meant effectively that we couldn't have an election, sort of a catch-22. We couldn't have an election because there were no poll workers, but we couldn't cancel the election because we hadn't met the criteria. So I immediately asked our attorney to go into court, file an order to show cause, to either force the county to proceed with the election or let the judge decide something else. Fortunately, the county then came in with its own motion asking that the election be postponed. There was a telephone call. The state, either the state or the county attorney, was asked by the judge what the best next date was, and that attorney stated that there are other elections going on in New Jersey tomorrow, and in fact, the two elections that were supposed to take place in North Jersey that had been canceled by the courts had been rescheduled for the 28th. So essentially, they were rescheduling all of the elections for the 28th. So the court ordered the March 14th election be delayed to March 28th. And on March 13, we issued a code red alert at 5:30. We issued another one at 6:10. Code red, which stated that the election was postponed and moved to the 28th, reached 451 phones by voice, 228 by text, 178 emails, and two TDDs. TDDs, yes. Which are devices for the deaf, teletypes. Another code red was sent on Tuesday afternoon. We put up signs or notices on the Borough Hall, the bulletin board, the Borough Facebook page, and the website, the Borough Bulletin website inside the post office. We advertised on the Asbury Park Press and the Trenton Times. The fire department put the notice on their Facebook page. The county put a notice on its Facebook page. We mailed a notice to all residents. We manned the Borough Hall on March 14 in case any voters came in to vote. Now, that was between, I believe, 10 and 3, but we also had the road crews checking in at the Borough Hall on a regular basis. We ordered new sample ballots within the same time frame as would have been required regardless of when the election was held. On Tuesday night, March 21, residents put up signs on 571. On the afternoon of March 22, Mr. Joe Trammell, Maureen Parrott, Peggy Malkin, Bob Clark, and Michael Hamilton went to court and filed papers to challenge the election and prevent the March 28 vote, claiming and testifying under oath that they did not receive notice until March 20. The court called our attorney and eventually contacted the lawyers for the state and the county. We then attended court. Fortunately, I was in Freehold, and our counsel came in from his office. Just a note, Mr. Clark and Mr. Hamilton were the designated challengers for the petitioners on the March 14th election. Being a stickler for logic, I have yet to figure out how it was that they knew not to show up to vote if they didn't have notice, because either they received the code red notice or they showed up at the Borough Hall to challenge or to vote and saw the signs, or they chose not to challenge. Ms. Parrott had already voted by mail. The judge ordered filing, set another hearing for Friday at 2:30. Our staff, our attorney and his firm, and some elected officials worked on this matter from Wednesday afternoon through the hearing on Friday, which ended between 4 and 4:30. This was an expensive exercise both for those of us who work and certainly for the town. On Friday, the judge ruled that the borough had met and exceeded the notice requirements set forth in her original orders and as required by law to the extent applicable, and ordered the election to take place Tuesday, March 28th. She also admonished petitioners for using let's call them questionable facts to accuse our attorney of misconduct despite the fact that he acted both ethically and properly under the circumstances. That is the end of the mayor's report. And we now move to approval of minutes. Do I have a motion on the January 23, 2017 regular meeting minutes? Do you have a second?
Second.
Any discussion at the table?
Yes, I have a discussion about the minutes.
Yeah, I think we've turned it up.
Yeah.
I'm sorry? It's because mine is right. I've moved up in front of my face.
I'm gonna try to go really close to the speaker, but there's very bad acoustical dynamics in here because of all the solid surfaces. So you're gonna get some phase delays and echo backs, and it's kind of difficult to hear it. But I think if we speak slow and carefully, I think you should be able to understand. Can you hear it? Can you hear in the back? Okay. Yeah, for some reason yours isn't coming through.
You can't hear me now?
Yeah. I'm gonna try to be really close to the mic, and I hope other people will too. Maybe it'll work. We'll see. But if you can't hear, you can ask. We can repeat things too. My comments on the January.
I'm sorry, Mike. It might help. Mark, could you possibly close those doors? We don't get the bounce from the kids.
Yeah, that'd be good. As far as the January 23rd minutes are concerned, I read through them carefully. And this was a meeting where the mayor's statement, which was included verbatim in the minutes, contained so many statements that were not factual. And we can't change that because what was entered into the minutes is what was said at the meeting, and that's not something that's subject to change or correction. It's what was stated. But there were statements in it, and I'm adding it to the record here during this meeting, and that's why I'm bringing it up. I'm not trying to change what was said. But there are statements about the amount of money that was spent on referendum elections, one of the court certifications stated that it cost the borough about $6,000 to hold an election for the equipment that they send over and they bill us for. That was part of a court certification. However, there's statements in here that it costs between $12,000 to $20,000 to have an election and hold a referendum. And there's statements about the water sewer bills going up $67 to $75 per bill. A lot of POSHA fines, and as far as I know, we haven't even received one fine to date. And I find that, in general, the problem is that there's a lot of statements that are made by public officials on one side of the different factions, I guess you could call it here, that are stated in their entirety. But there were significant comments made by myself and also Councilwoman Malkin that are just not present, that are just deleted, that aren't part of the public record. And we made those comments because we wanted them made part of the public record. There were disagreements. We talked about, and the mayor was gracious enough to ask if we had anything to say about his statements in the beginning, and I thank you for that. But our statements are not in the public record in any substantive way at all. They're just missing. And I found in general throughout a lot of the minutes, it's that way. Either there's heavy editing or it's just not included. And I'm wondering how the minutes are done where things get either misinterpreted or deleted or sanitized or eliminated so But I think it's really important to have both sides recorded as part of the public record. I'm going to refer to now some comments that I made and that Peggy made. And again, they just weren't in the public record.
Mike, can we possibly do this during your report?
Hold on, I'm almost finished, Jeff.
Okay.
So, you know, I can't approve this because it's really where there's so many things that just weren't recorded that someone might interpret as being critical comments, but everything else seems to be recorded almost verbatim. So I have a problem in general with that, and I think that whatever is said ought to be recorded as accurately as possible, and not from your memory or whatever, but they should be listened to in the minutes and really recorded exactly what was said. So those are my comments on the January 23rd regular meeting minutes. So I'm going to be voting to approve it. I'd like the comments added that council members made. I think it's significant. These are elected officials that make comments that are substantive. They should be in the public record, but they're not. Why? I don't know. Any answer to that?
Yes, are you finished?
Perhaps.
I didn't want to interrupt you.
Well, perhaps I had the floor, so I
I'm not
gave
arguing
my comments.
That. I'm just asking if you're finished.
Maybe.
Okay.
I'll yield the floor.
Are you asking for an answer now?
I'll yield the floor to you if that's what you're asking.
Okay,
for.
Thank you. Yeah. You brought up a lot of things, most of which I don't think it's appropriate to go through now, but with respect to the minutes, to the extent that a printed document is submitted, whether it's yours or Mr. Trammell's or somebody else's, it gets attached to the minutes. Okay. Otherwise, the minutes are treated as all corporate and municipal minutes are treated, which is it is a very brief summary of what happened and what action was taken. So if you have a document that you want included or you have a speech that you made that you want included, I believe that the staff is more than glad to attach them. I will tell you that they listen to the tapes after every meeting and use those tapes as the basis for the minutes.
Yeah, but to have comments not that were made that took some time by council members and not have them in the minutes whatsoever, it is really unconscionable.
We're having the same discussion in the planning board because right. You have a problem where you end up with basically a transcript,
yeah.
Right? Versus, and there's a balance in between. Normally you would in your minutes say there was discussion and the council moved as follows. If there's additional things that you want included in the minutes, we can go back to the tape and see if there are additional things to include in there. I will point out one thing that you mentioned about the cost, just so that we are clear. Part of the cost relates to the setup. In other words, it relates to the advertising that we're required to do. So I believe this time Asbury Park Press was $3,800, whereas the Trenton Times is only $250. We get a bill from the county for their setup. All of these, by the way, were submitted in the court papers. They were about $6,000. Right? Once we have the election, however, we then have to pay for the people who are working at the county who are showing up here. So we pay $500 for the poll worker. We pay for people at the county. So the difference between we had to pay between $8,000 and $10,000 to call the election is not the same as what we have to pay to have the election. And so the fact that election was put off, on the one hand, saved us a substantial amount of money. On the other hand, obviously, we have to do it again.
Yeah, and just one more thing I'd just like to add, and it's for the public record. It's not specifically about this.
Fine.
And it's just that I'm going to save it for later in the agenda, but I really do think that real effort should be made especially when council people speak at length about some things at a public meeting. Efforts should be made not just to put in Councilwoman Malkin commented on something, period. It needs to be more substantial, or else it looks like everything is slanted one way, that there was no disagreement. For people who just read the minutes and haven't been at meetings, they'll read it and they'll say, oh, it looks like this is a group that gets along really well. I mean, you know, there's no disagreements here. But that's not necessarily the case, and it doesn't give a true impression of what's going on. So I would just like to see that the minutes become more balanced, more substantive. Even if they're longer, I know it's a little bit of a burden to do that. It's difficult to take minutes and to, you know, type them up and have them be accurate, but I think more effort should be given in that regard.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. Malkin, well, you wanted to say something?
Councilwoman Malkin, yes. Well, one of the things, there was a comment made that there was a spirited discussion. Spirited usually connotes sort of a happy or positive note. Mm-hmm. What goes on here at most meetings is not spirited. There's, you know, it's a huge controversy in town. It's very upsetting. And I also think that, to be honest, we have the mayor's comments in here verbatim, but it's not random. The mayor's comments are in there, but the council people who are opposed to the mayor, their comments are omitted. So it's not just sort of random. Some people's comments are in, some aren't. The mayor's comments are in verbatim. Opposing council members' comments are omitted. And that's where the problem lies.
Well, as I said, I submitted a written document. If you submit a written document, it will be in full.
I think it doesn't have to be written. I think if you're speaking and making a speech or orating as a council person, considering an issue that is before the people, that is imminent, then that should be included in the minutes. I've never seen any rule that says it must be written in order, actually written down in order to be included in the minutes.
I didn't say it needed to be written down in order to be included in the minutes. What I said, what I was doing was responding to your comment, which was, it seems like they put in everything that the mayor said, but not everything that I said. And my response was, yes, I had a written speech which I handed to them, and they attached. That doesn't mean that they refuse to put anything else in.
Well, if they're listening to the tape, they hear everyone else's speeches.
Right, but we're not, you can't do a full transcript of the meeting. That's not what minutes are. That's why I'm suggesting that you might want to include. When I do the mayor's report, I write it. I mean, we used to have written reports from environmental health and safety, from all of the committees,
well,
which we just don't do anymore.
I don't hand anyone my report.
Okay.
When I give my finance report.
Okay. Excuse me.
When I give my finance report and planning board reports, I don't hand anything written. I just say them, and they show up in the minutes. So
okay.
The same should be said for everyone's comments.
And by the way, I am the one who suggested the word spirited, because spirited in my business means spirited.
But
it means
we're not. This is not a legal proceeding. This is
actually
town
it is.
Council meeting.
It is a legal proceeding.
It's a town council meeting,
okay.
Not.
Right. We can look up spirited later. It was intended to infer that it was
Well, I think it
connotes
something very different than what goes on here.
Noted. Do we have any other comments about the minutes of January 23rd?
Yes, please.
Yes.
I was absent for that meeting. Can everybody hear me?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. No? Okay. Okay, I was absent for that meeting, and when I read the minutes, I saw this letter at the end of it, and it gave me no indication of who wrote it. Could you clear that up with the next? There's nothing that has your name on there.
Right.
Oh, okay. I've read it in a public meeting, so I assume people knew. Fair enough.
I just didn't know. And I get a lot of information from looking at minutes and information from past all kinds of meetings, so it's just much easier to know who did it, who signed it. Okay?
We're feeding back.
Okay,
there being no further discussion, can I have a call on the minutes of approval of the minutes of January 23rd, 2017?
Ms. Bona?
Aye.
Mr. Hamilton?
No.
Ms. Lapode?
Aye.
No.
Mr. Tipton?
Aye.
Mr. Trammell?
No.
Seriously, 3-3 on approval of minutes? Okay, I move to approve them. I'm sorry, vote to approve the minutes of January 23rd. Sorry, move to approve the minutes of January 23rd, 2017. Vote to. Okay, do I have a motion on the minutes of February 9, 2017, special meeting?
So move.
Second.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Mr. Tipton, second. Discussion at the table.
Are you
hiding, Mr. Hamill?
Yeah, I'm not trying to hide. I'm just trying to, so everybody can be heard. Can you hear that better if this is up here? Yeah, that'd be better. Maybe the other one, too.
Speak into the mic. It works.
I understand, and people can hear me back there. Thank you for the directions.
Earth to council, earth to mayor. Mr. Hamilton.
Yeah, the February 9th minutes, I was quoted as saying, Councilman Hamilton stated that he does not agree that the infrastructure is in bad shape. I believe that that's not true. I'm almost sure that I said, or at least I recall saying, in response to your statements, that our equipment is rotted and nothing seems to be working properly, that I said I don't believe that everything is failing or that things are failing. And that was the intent, if not the actual words of what I said, but I don't think I did say that the infrastructure is not in bad shape. I don't agree that the infrastructure is in bad shape. So I'd like that part correct.
I believe your exact statement was, I don't agree, but because they did listen to the tape, but if that was not your intent, you want to propose language?
Yeah, that I don't believe it's failing.
What, Mike, I'm sorry, what page are you?
I'm sorry?
What page?
Page 2 of 3, it's about two-thirds of the way down.
Yeah, 2 of 3 under February 9 minutes. About two-thirds of the way down, the paragraph starts, Councilman Trammell questioned why the election can't be held
in November. Right.
And then at the end of that paragraph, it said, Councilman Hamilton stated that he does not agree that the infrastructure is in bad shape.
Why don't we just strike that line in its entirety?
I would like to say that I don't believe that it's failing as significantly as the mayor stated.
Unfortunately, that's not what you said, so I'm suggesting as a compromise we just get rid of the line.
That's fine. Okay. Just delete it.
Before we go for another motion, are there any other comments at the table, Mr. Trammell?
Can I go? Page 4. The fourth bullet from the bottom. Last sentence.
I don't have page 4.
We don't have a page 4.
Page 4 of the February 13th.
Oh, we're on the February
9th. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. We jumped ahead here.
All right. Can I get an amendment to the motion? To approve the minutes of the... You don't want an amendment?
No.
Oh, okay. Just had this look.
You would need... The person who made the motion should make a motion as amended.
As amended, right. So who made the motion on the February 9th?
I agree to amend the motion to strike that line.
Second. Thank you. Thank
you. I agree to the second.
Okay. Would you please call the roll?
Ms. Bona?
Aye.
Mr. Hamilton?
Aye.
Aye.
Ms. Malkin?
Aye.
Mr. Tipton?
Aye.
Mr. Trammell?
Aye.
May I have a motion on the February 13th regular and executive minutes?
So move.
Second.
Any comments or questions at the table? Mr. Trammell.
Page 4. Bottom of the page, fourth bullet up, last sentence.
Give me a second, I gotta find the 13th.
Okay. Stated that the certifications are not in order with the fire department, and that is why it would not be covered.
I'm sorry.
Page 4 of 8, bottom of the page. Mayor's report, and then council had a detailed discussion.
Okay.
Got it? Some highlights are? It's the bottom of page 4.
Right. Stated that the certifications
are not in order.
This is my statement?
No. This is some highlights are of the Safety Committee's report.
And then, like, at the very next sentence, it says some highlights are.
Right.
That's of the Safety Committee's report. Some highlights are.
Okay, I'm sorry. I was reading discussion about the Safety Committee report and the mayor's report.
First bullet point on highlights are.
Yeah.
Last sentence.
Stated that the certifications are not in order.
My safety report never said that the certifications are not in order. My report said if the certifications are not in order. Makes sense?
Yes, but I think you have to...
Safety report is attached to it, and I just looked through it, and I didn't see anything that says that...
I'm just suggesting that we make two changes in that sentence. So it says, stated that if the certifications are not in order with the fire department, and then strike the words, and that is why. So it would read, stated that if the certifications are not in order with the fire department, we would not be covered.
I'll go with that.
Okay. Other comments on that?
Can you read that again?
Sure.
The correction?
Sure. Stated that if the certifications are not in order with the fire department, we would not be covered.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Good?
Yeah.
Okay. Any more comments or questions on the minutes?
Yeah, I have comments on these minutes, too.
Okay.
Looking under the public comments section, I see that there are significant public comments in detail for Mr. Bert Allentuck. I think there's like 6 bullet points, about a half a page of comments that are in detail. Sam Lopez has a significant paragraph, a lot of comments that he made. Asenka Oskaloff has some, but very little. When we get to Gary Shiner, 46 Lake Drive, which is on page 7 of 8, I was at the meeting, and I remember Gary had significant comments and questions, and they were very substantive about what he viewed as the dishonesty of the 2 non-binding questions that were on the November 8th election regarding 2 options for the emergency services building and which one people would prefer. And he talked at length about that. And yet the minutes say he questioned the previous referendum election on the ESB. And that, so, but that
I'm sorry, if you can enter into the record, what it says is, question the previous referendum election on the ESB, and how many times do we need to vote on this? How much money is this going to cost the residents? We'd like to know if we could bring down the size of the fire department, and we'd like to know if this was brought back since the borough already voted on this in December.
I know what it says, but...
I just want to make sure the public...
But you don't quite understand what I'm saying, and that is he had significant comments that he entered into the public record as a citizen about how he felt duped and the voters were duped by having 2 non-binding questions that appeared to be binding or that some people interpreted as I need to vote on one or the other. He commented on that. I'm not talking about that issue, but I'm talking about, and I know Mr. Shiner's here,
mm-hmm.
He had significant comments on it, and yet it's not what serves to express his comments are that he questioned the previous referendum election on the ESB. The other parts, I'm fine with. He did say the other parts, but there's nothing included about all of those comments about what he viewed as the dishonesty of those 2 questions, and I know that other citizens had comments like that too, but it's just not there. It's missing.
Okay. I think your point is that you would like a transcript as opposed to minutes, and I don't think that...
That's not my point. I would like them not to be sanitized, not to have things taken out, to have them more be more substantive.
That's a transcript.
No.
If you would like us to recite everything that Mr. Shiner accurately said, I mean, we have Ms. Lenard is next in that list. She said more than that. Mr. Chasen said more than that. It's a summary of what they stated.
No, it's not an accurate summary of what he stated. Things that he said, a lot of substantive parts of what he said, are just not in the public record. And again, for the 9 out of 10 voting-age citizens who'd never come to meetings, because there's 600 voters in town, assuming they're all adults, or what we would call adults, we get 60 people who come out, which means 9 out of 10 residents or citizens or voters are not coming to meetings, may not be at meetings. They may want to go look at the minutes and say, well, what happened at this meeting? And they're not going to get both sides of an issue. They're not going to get Mr. Shiner's comments about what he views as the dishonesty of these questions on the November 8th ballot. They're going to get something that's very boilerplate that just doesn't say anything substantive.
Mr. Hamilton, I know that the press is here, but it's a discussion of what is in the document.
I am objecting to what's not in the minutes, which is important. As important as what is in the minutes.
Do you have a suggestion as to what you want to put in these minutes?
I would like to put accurately what he said about that, and I'm sure that we could find that. We could find that in the minutes.
Okay. My suggestion
is... I don't have it with me. But
my suggestion is that you do some research on the nature of minutes. You go look at minutes from other towns to see how they are prepared. You can go to Millstone, Hightstown, East Windsor, Princeton, wherever it is that you care to go, but none of them have verbatim discussions.
I think what he's trying to say is not so much that it's not verbatim, but it's very unbalanced. The people who are pro-voting a new building get all of their comments listed. They get much more space, and the people who are opposed are relegated to a couple of lines summarizing what they said.
I think that's inaccurate, but okay, I've taken your comment. Are there any other comments at the table?
Thank you.
Mr. Trammell?
Page 5.
Oh, I closed it. That was stupid. Sorry.
First paragraph under the bullets.
Give me a second, please, Joe.
Could you say that again? Joe, I didn't hear.
Page 5 of 8, mm-hmm. On February 13th.
Right.
First paragraph under the bullets.
Okay.
Councilman Trammell asked about a town hall meeting.
Yes.
Okay. After that discussion, I felt that if I called a town hall meeting to speak about this situation, that it would have to be a public meeting, and I would have to get it, advertised and all this other stuff, as you state in this paragraph.
Mm-hmm.
Subsequently, you had a town hall meeting.
I did.
And all of us council were there.
Yes.
Does that make it an illegal meeting?
No, it makes it a public meeting, which was properly noticed in accordance with New Jersey state law. Publications were printed in the Asbury Park Press, the Trenton Times, and were posted on the bulletin board and at the Borough Hall. All
okay.
of those notices were filed timely.
Okay, so you publicly noticed it?
Absolutely.
I didn't. I stand corrected. I will now know how to have a public meeting like that.
Okay. I'm sorry?
I will now know how to have a public meeting like that. I'm new at this, so.
Okay, but just having gone over part of that tape, we did offer to, we gave you dates, and we offered to do whatever needed to be done.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there was no attempt to stop any meeting.
I didn't attempt to stop it. I just, I showed up because 2 days...
No, I meant for you to have a meeting.
Right, 2 days before I heard about it, and I came. That was all. So, okay.
Do I have a motion on the minutes of, what minutes? February 13th, regular meeting and executive. I'm sorry, a roll call.
And I don't think
there was an amendment.
Yes.
I accept the amendment. There was an amendment on page 4 of 8, the word if, and that is why was struck.
That is why, yes. Completely different meanings. Yeah. Okay.
The second, accept the amendment.
Mr. Dixon, do you accept the amendment?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now can we have a roll call, please?
Ms. Bowman?
Aye.
Mr. Hamilton?
No.
Ms. Lapode?
Aye.
Ms. Malkin?
No.
Mr. Trammell?
Let's say as amended, I'll accept it.
As amended.
As amended, yes. Okay.
Just a quick question. Joe, did you say you were not at the February 9 meeting?
I was not at the January 23rd meeting. The January 23rd meeting. Right.
January
23rd. January 23rd. This is the first one. I'm thinking you didn't abstain. I just want to double check.
January 23rd. I was absent at the January 23rd meeting.
Right. So you would have been in abstention. In other words, you can't approve minutes for meetings you didn't attend.
Okay, so for this meeting,
so we just changed it to abstention.
This was the one where I was just wondering who wrote the letter. This was.
Oh, no, that's fine. But when you are approving minutes, what you're basically saying is that those minutes reflect what happened at the meeting. So if you weren't at the meeting, you would just abstain and say, I don't know, which I certainly don't want to happen.
The
January 23rd. The January 23rd,
yeah. Yeah, okay.
Okay, so.
You abstained from January 23 because we are...
I do, but I think it should be noted that your name should be on this letter.
Oh, that's fine. Yeah.
That's all...
Yeah, no, it's done.
Yeah. Okay.
So we're changing his vote to abstain?
Can we change your vote to abstain?
Technically,
that's not correct under Robert's rules, but...
Well, I can't vote on it. I can't abstain or anything. But
no, you can. You would abstain.
Okay, but I'm noting that your name should be on it, whether I'm voting for it or not.
Agreed.
Thank you very much.
Do you agree that we can just put in abstention by your name?
Rich?
You can... you can amend your vote that way, I guess, if you realize later that you should have abstained, yeah.
Okay, if legally I could not vote on it, then I will abstain from it, but still I think your name should be on this.
Your comment is taken. My name will be entered. I'll put a stamp on it.
Thank you,
whatever
Mayor.
It takes.
Okay, very good. Okay.
Can I make a move that we go out of order so that we can have our guests
speak?
I was asking if we could go out of order so that we could have our guest, Chief Carbon, here, because this may be a long meeting. And so generally when we have guests here, we do go out of order so they can speak first and don't have to sit through all of the borough business.
I was going to have them during reports of borough officials, which would be after our committee discussions, but if we want to move him up, I don't have an objection. I'd like to do it after the consent agenda.
Yeah.
And I was kind of hoping that if he was at the end, all of you would speed up. We'd make it a shorter meeting.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Okay. Okay.
We put it as regular and
exact.
Together. I'd like to ask the chair and second that suggestion. He has a dog that's going to give birth any moment. I know he would like to be there for that.
Is the Jimmy, is the dog with you? Oh, okay. Okay, so you like to move that in front of the consent agenda, is that what you're saying, Mike?
Yeah. Okay. So he can get home.
Do an introduction.
Okay, so
on the minutes, I believe.
Yeah, we did.
We did.
We did.
We voted on the minutes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, so who is asking?
May I introduce him? But I want to read a statement.
I'm sorry, are you introducing Chief Carbon?
Yeah.
All right, I'm sorry. I don't want to be rude, but I do want to recuse myself from the table when Chief Carbon speaks because he's also a client of mine.
I got you.
So I will
okay.
Leave the table and leave the room as best I can. Maybe when he's done, someone can tell me.
Just as a point of order, did we vote to change the order of business? Was there a vote on
that? No, we haven't done anything yet.
Okay.
Okay.
Right.
And I would also... I would also point out that there's a slight misstatement. Mr. Shackley does not represent Chief Carbon. He represents the Millstone Fire District.
The
Millstone Fire... I'm sorry, Monroe Fire District.
Thank you.
Yes.
Okay.
I thought he also did Millstone, but whatever. But okay. Maybe that's Jim. I get confused.
Okay.
All right, so...
May I read this?
No, not yet.
We have to vote.
Not yet.
Okay.
So we're looking for Mike. Okay, so we're trying to make a motion for...
I'll make that motion to change the order of business to allow for...
But for what purpose? To have Mr. Carbon make a statement?
Well, perhaps to lead off with health and public safety, which he's part of. He's under that committee. I think he's making his...
So basically we'll do the emergency health and safety report.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, okay, that's fine. Yeah. Let's make that motion.
And also to answer questions, if the public has any questions for him.
But that's something different. We'll have to deal with that separately.
Okay.
Why he's here.
Okay. May I? Or are we voting?
I have no idea why he's here. Yes. So somebody's making the motion?
I'll make that motion.
Okay. Second. Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Anybody opposed?
Did you get that, Kathleen?
Okay.
Well, I have Hamilton first, now the second.
Yeah.
Yes. And Chief Carbon, can you come to the podium? And I keep referring to you, but could you introduce just for the tape name, position, and address, please?
Can you hear me?
I think you got to lean closer. I can hear you fine. It's the people
can
behind
you. Can everybody
in
the back hear me? Do I need a microphone?
Yes. Yes,
okay.
Because it's recorded.
Chief Carbon, Monroe Township Fire District Number 2, Chief of the Department.
Thank you. Mr. Trammell?
I'd like to read this, and this is the statement that I made to the judge about us going to the moving of the vote meeting there.
Well, please make your statement.
It's quick. Okay, I signed on to do this, go and see this judge, because I had not received a sample ballot. This was on Wednesday, the 22nd. The judge asked us for legal arguments. Me, not being a lawyer, I wrote the following statement. Dear Judge Groomer, I certify that as a recently elected councilman, 1116, and recently appointed chairman of the Safety Committee, 117, I did not know until 6 o'clock, 3/13/17, the night before the referendum vote, that it was canceled. I did not know of the court order until 3/30/17, when Maureen Parrott emailed it to me. After the passage of the firehouse bond, 12/16, Mayor Alan Tuck presented the town with the choice of: 1, pass the bond and build a firehouse for $571,000. 2, do not pass the bond and contract with Millstone Fire Department at a rate of $30,000 a year, escalating to $90,000 after 5 years. Interested parties initiated and passed a referendum 117. My committee took up a fact-finding mission and found, see attached safety report, which you all have. We met with Kevin Stout, Monmouth County Fire Marshal, and learned what was required of firefighters and equipment. We met with Dave Markunas, Millstone Fire Commissioner, who confirmed his deal with Mayor Alan Tuck. Subsequently, on 2/1/17, we met with Jim Carbon, Chief Fire District Number 2, Monroe, and two of their commissioners, who all offered us the alternative of $30,000 a year for 3 years with career firefighters and 24/7 service. See attached Monroe letter of intent. I read the report to our council on 2/13/17 meeting. Subsequently, Mayor Alan Tuck invited Dave Markunas to the next council meeting, 2/27/17, and stated that there would be no mutual aid if we contracted Monroe. We scheduled Jim Carbon to appear at the next council meeting, 3/13.
Mr. Trammell, are we having this gentleman here to ask questions? We've changed the...
One paragraph to go, sir.
I have the entire trial list here. Along with all the affidavits, I would ask that we not read each of these affidavits. Because
One more paragraph, sir.
Go ahead.
Okay. Mayor Alan Tuck canceled that council meeting and rescheduled his own town meeting on 3/11 again with Commissioner Markunas and did not invite Chief Carbon. We have now scheduled Chief Carbon to appear at our next council meeting, 3/27, the night before the referendum vote. My concern is that the citizens of Roosevelt know what they are voting for and when they are to vote. The third option should not be suppressed, denied, or manipulated. As of this afternoon's mail, 3/27/17, 2 p.m., I have not received a sample ballot. And with that, I want to thank...
Unfortunately, that leaves a necessity for a quick response. Okay? Two things. If you are going to hold a meeting and your idea is, and this has happened on several occasions, is, oh, gee, let's have an ambush, then you cannot get angry at me for canceling a meeting where I didn't know Mr. Corbin was going to come, number one. And number two, I will point out that on the day that we had the discussion about canceling the meeting, I happened to meet Mr. Hamilton at the Board of Elections, I asked him if Wednesday or the next Thursday would work for him. He said he preferred to put it off to the next Thursday, said nothing about a special guest. So I would prefer that we not go through all of the certifications because I got lots of them too, and it's just going to waste our time. We made the arguments in front of the judge. The judge rejected them. Mr. Chief Carbon is here to talk, I assume, about Monroe and to give you guys ask questions. Let's do that, and then we can go back into our regular schedule.
So may I now introduce Chief Carbon?
Please do.
Chief Carbon, thank you so much for coming, sir.
Thank you.
Well, basically, there's been a lot of... There's been a lot of misinformation, a lot of conjecture, and a lot of rumors concerning Monroe Applegarth covering Roosevelt. In other words, if the referendum is voted down tomorrow and the people want to, we're not going to build a firehouse here, and we have to contract out, people have a lot of questions about Monroe and their role in covering Roosevelt for fire protection. So I don't know if you wanted to make a little speech or you just would like us to ask you questions. You know, do you want to... You have covered Roosevelt in the past, am I correct?
Correct.
Right. So,
any time that there is a working fire in Monroe, Millstone and Monroe, or in Roosevelt, Millstone and Monroe are actually here at the same time.
Well, we've been told...
When was the last time you covered an action in Roosevelt?
The last fire?
The last time that you were first ones here.
I'll repeat what I said. Any time that there is a working fire... In Roosevelt, Millstone and Monroe are dispatched together.
And so I...
The last fire, which was probably December 27th, I believe. Maybe wrong on the date, Chief?
Chicken coop.
Oh, the infamous chicken coop,
December 20th,
yes.
In that area, Monroe was not dispatched by Monmouth County Communications, although they do have the capability to dispatch us.
Also, we were told by our fire department, or also by Dave Markunis of Millstone, that Millstone will not respond to mutual aid if Monroe is covering us.
Not what he said. What he said was that in the event that right now they're on dual call with Roosevelt and they are the immediate response to Roosevelt for mutual aid, that in the event we had a contract with Monroe, Monroe would be the ones who would call Millstone. So Monroe would be called first. If Monroe then required Millstone, they would call Millstone.
They are telling people that Millstone will not respond if we are covered
it's
by
not
Monroe.
What Mr. Markunis said.
Well,
just correcting
you. Also, let's have
I will clarify the mutual aid agreement.
Thank you.
Mutual aid is a reciprocal agreement, and if it is available, it will be provided. The state statutes do not allow individuals to pick and choose any mutual aid. If they are available, it must be provided. And that comes right out of the Resource Deployment Act.
And who would call you if you were contracted to Roosevelt? Who would call for mutual aid?
If it was a fire that needed additional manpower and mutual aid?
Yeah, anything.
It would be whatever officer from Monroe.
Okay. So exactly my point. Monroe would call for backup. Okay.
And Millstone would respond.
Correct.
Right. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah? That's what Mr. Markunis said. Yes.
No, he didn't. Also, trying to think of some of the others.
Yes.
We wanted to know, will you only respond to fires or other incidents as well?
If Monroe is contracted, they would be primary response for all calls. All calls of service.
So
not only fire calls, motor vehicle accidents, extrications, lockouts.
Wires down?
Wires down.
Right.
Catch up trees?
wires down.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Trying to think what some of the other concerns were. Oh, a big concern. People wanted to know if two fires occurred simultaneously, would Roosevelt be on a back burner? if we were contracted to, and there was a fire in Monroe, would we take second?
Doesn't matter which department is primary, whether it's Millstone or Monroe. If the host agency has a fire in their local first, it gets answered in the order of the way the call comes in. However, a mutual aid box alarm plan would all automatically dispatch mutual aid to the next alarm. So no, you would not be held without a fire department responding.
I had a couple of questions. I think, I don't know if you know this, but I don't know if you can confirm their Monroe standard rate for residents. I think it's 1385.
I will defer that to my administrative section.
Your standard rate is 1385 per 100 at 85%, right?
1385
per 88. Okay. And then I think it's at 85%, you said, Mr.?
Multiply that by 85% for the equalization.
Okay. So they multiply the valuation. In Roosevelt, you have 100% valuation. In Monroe, for purposes, they do an 85% valuation and then multiply it. Okay. Monroe's in Middlesex County, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Have you ever had the opportunity to read the... I assume that you would agree, and most of us would agree, that the time that we most need emergency services is when we have a declared state of emergency.
Absolutely.
Okay. Have you ever read a governor's state of emergency?
Quite a few of them.
Okay. So, beginning of paragraph 11, which I think there were copies available to the public.
No?
Okay. We're getting them. But I'll read it to you. In accordance with NJSA A9-34, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, no municipality or public or semi-public agency shall send public works, fire, police, emergency, medical, or other personnel or equipment into any non-contiguous disaster-stricken municipality within this state. And I believe you guys are a non-contiguous. Your border doesn't touch ours, just as...
Correct. You've got the Battle Ground Road in between.
Nor to any municipality outside this state, unless and until such aid has been directed by the County Emergency Management Coordinator in consultation with the State Director of Emergency Management. So what that means on its face is that in the event there is an emergency that covers both Middlesex and Monmouth, such as a hurricane, in order for you to remove your equipment from Monroe to come here, at least that's how I'm reading it, the Middlesex County OEM has to agree.
Absolutely.
Or put another way, we'd have to call up the Middlesex County OEM and say, do you mind if we remove emergency equipment from Middlesex to go to Monmouth?
We've already got that agreement.
You already have that agreement?
We do that with Millstone also.
Do you have that?
Millstone is Monmouth County.
Okay, and you have that agreement in writing?
Absolutely.
Good. Could you get us a copy?
When we get to the time, you
Good,
can have a copy.
Time.
So you know when it's coming.
Actually, what he just said was when we get to the time. So
if
obviously,
we get to that time where we're negotiating
right. So if the bond is voted down and we sit down and negotiate contract terms, then okay, fair enough. And that was the end. You had more questions?
Can I?
Sure. Yeah.
Could you just give us a quick rundown of what financially we would have to pay and what happens after 3 years?
I believe, Mr. Chairman, would you step forward? I will defer my administrative section to the chairman of the board.
While we're waiting, just one more question. How many people are on call at any given time? How many paid firefighters are on call at any given time?
Minimum manning of 4. Plus myself, if it's a work of fire, so you've got 5 coming at night.
And you're 24/7
Correct.
Paid?
Yes.
And what's the story with the fire station closer to Route 33, the volunteer?
The volunteers respond out of there. Actually, Vice Chairman Borsuk is the assistant chief, and they man the apparatus out of that building.
Nice.
Mr. Borsuk and I go back a long way, in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Jason Martin, I'm a fire commissioner, Monroe Fire District Number 2. So the proposal that we sent and the letter of intent that I sent to Mr. Trammell here
Thank you.
Was a proposal for 3 years at and the financial impact for you guys would be $30,000 per year. So $30,000.
And the question that I believe he asked was what happens after that?
Mm-hmm. Like any contract, it would be up for renegotiation.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And it could go either way. It could go down. It could go up. Right now, based on your call volume and everything like that, we think that amount is fair to cover our expenses.
If we had less calls,
We could. It would be open to possibly decreasing.
And if we had more calls?
It could increase.
To be fair, COLA increases as years goes by, or?
I mean, I don't have your data in front of me as far as the volume of calls that you guys run.
About two a month, 24 to 30 a year.
And does that, statistically and
They're not fires. They're usually other incidents.
Right. And statistically and historically, has that increased substantially over the
past? No, it's for the past 3.5, 4 years.
Well, then.
Yeah. Not forever.
Right. Okay. And it would be, again, this is a proposal that we're giving. This is a, it would all be on a learning curve as far as if it works for you and if it works for us. Mm-hmm. And we could, you know.
And when's the next election of fire commissioners?
Next election is February of next year.
Of next year.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
It's every year in February?
The third Saturday of February. And it's not everybody. They're 3-year terms.
It's like every year?
Like us.
That's correct.
Good.
So how many are on? Six or nine?
Five.
Five? Six, nine, or five. Okay. And it's... So how many come up each year?
It's two 1 year, two another year, and then there's one person
one
that runs
year.
On their own.
Okay. I'm good.
So basically, I'd like to know if anyone... I'd like to know if anyone in the audience has any questions they'd like to ask the chief or the commissioners. We have them here today, so.
Well, if you want to do that, then let's make a motion for a public session limited.
Okay, I move to go into public session so that the.
Limited to?
To questioning the fire chief and commissioners of Monroe if they have any concerns or questions.
Do we have a second?
Second? I'll second that.
Anybody opposed? Mr. Hamilton.
Sorry.
So anybody has a question for Chief Corbin? Ms. Parrott, please come to the podium, state your name and your address.
Maureen Parrott, 2 Tamara Drive, Roosevelt, New Jersey. I have a question regarding the technical qualifications for the members of your department, Chief Corbin, compared to the technical qualifications to the members of the Roosevelt Fire Department?
All qualifications in the state of New Jersey are for Firefighter 1 are equal. Doesn't matter if you're a career or a volunteer. They are state statutes.
Thank you. Is there anybody else who had a question? That being the case, let's close.
Asenka Oxlaw, 50 Pine Drive. Asenka Oxalov, he can tell you. 50 Pine Drive. I just had a question. I know a number of people in the town were asking about the distance, and I assume since you're a professional and you agree to draw up a contract and do this service for us, that you feel confident that the distance is not a negative factor, but I'd like to hear your thoughts on that.
From our station, the main headquarters, to here, I believe I clocked it at 5.8. Some have 6.1.
Yeah.
But I can tell you that I did a dry run from the swim club, which is the furthest from town, to our firehouse on Thursday, 11:30 in the afternoon, 6 minutes and 49 seconds.
In
what? That was stopping at Route 33 traffic.
In what vehicle?
In my chief's vehicle. Because that's what would be responding in.
I was just checking to see if the trooper was still out there.
No. I did the speed limit just for that reason, so I could give you an accurate time.
6 minutes and what?
6 minutes and 49 seconds.
But you actually have the capability of changing the light at 33,
correct.
Right?
Provided the county maintains the upkeep.
Which I believe is what he did.
No, I didn't use that.
Oh.
I stopped at the traffic light. I wanted to factor everything in.
Okay. Thank you.
Can you tell More? Us if...
I'm sorry, we're now in the public session, so let's see
okay.
if anybody else in the public
well, I didn't
has
think anyone else
a question.
Any
They're being... Yes, sir.
Hi, Chris Mixon, 9 Lake Drive. I just had a question that there's been some concern that if we go with the Monroe Fire Department that that the annual rate for the service would rise exponentially, that this is a fear, and I just want to know your thoughts on what are the, I know it could go up or it could go down, but that this is not some kind of bargain rate that we get going out, that there would be some basis for this increase if it were to go up, and what your thoughts would be as to why that might happen. Thank you.
Sir?
Yes, he did.
Okay, that's a question at the end.
He answered that, yeah.
He said it might go up and it might go down,
At that point, I think we should shop for a different fire department. I mean, that's not going to happen. I mean, again,
I'm sorry. I'm going to have to ask you this one because in our discussions with other fire departments, one of their
can I have a point of order? I thought you said this was a public session and just the public was responding.
Okay,
not,
correct.
Not
fair
council
enough.
And administration.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I mean, I'll address a little bit because we have talked about the cost in our board meetings as well. You know, like the Chief Coroner, Commissioner Martin said, you know, we felt the $30,000 was perfectly adequate for what we're doing now. I believe the average call volume over the last few years has been around 25, 28, somewhere in there.
Per year.
Roughly per year.
Yeah.
So, So if we got down the road at the end of the 3 years and we're at 40 calls, you know, there may be a nominal change, and by nominal, I'm, you know, off the top of my head, I'm thinking, what, 32,000, 33,000 maybe, depending on the cost of fuel at that point, that type of thing. Mm-hmm. Quite frankly, if the call volume went down to an average of 20, it could go a couple thousand the other way. You know, obviously, I can't guarantee anything, but I have. You know, we're not doing this for the money. We're trying to do this to do what's best for the citizens of Roosevelt and hope that we can. Sorry, I have my back. So we are not looking for a huge increase. I know that I believe it's part of the concern with the proposal from Millstone. We are not looking to do anything like that.
No, Glenn, I know you don't want to be impolite, but if you instead of facing them, if you could speak in the microphone, because
okay.
Otherwise these poor folks are not going to be able
sure,
to.
Sure, sure. But just to finish up, like I say, there could be a nominal increase if there's a significant increase in call volume, but that's not anything that we're looking at. We are not looking for a large increase of any kind.
Thank you.
Okay. Close the public session. Ms. Malkin, you have something to start?
I had one.
I'm sorry.
Sam Lopez, 7 Homestead Lane.
Sam, you're going to have to get closer to that microphone.
Sam Lopez, 7 Homestead Lane. We had other fire commissioners in here, and they mentioned that they wouldn't do a per-call charge. And it also was brought up that the rate that Roosevelt's getting is a tenth of the penny of what Monroe is getting. If, let's say, it does get out to the town and your town thinks this is unfair, would there be any negotiations beyond what you guys gave us? Because I know in Monroe it's not a per-call basis, but for us it would be. So I just wanted to clarify if there was an outcry from the public about the price that we're getting rather to them, would that change anything?
No, I don't see why that would change anything. You know, Monroe's obviously is not on a per-call basis, but Roosevelt's would not be either. It's the flat $30,000 per year for the 3 years, regardless of if there's two calls or 50 calls right now. So that 3 years, it would be the $30,000 per year.
And that's also inclusive of fire prevention for the few businesses that you have in town and this one might have that we're standing as far as inspections and everything like that,
right?
And,
I can't see that number going up or down.
Okay. One more question from me. Would you...
Joe, we're waiting until these folks have had a chance, and then we'll come to him. Is there anybody besides Ms. Parrott? Not that we won't get you to you, but I want to get people who haven't spoken yet. Ms. Parrott?
Hi, Maureen Parrott. I'd like to ask the chief what, in your view, would be the benefits to the citizens of Roosevelt if we contract with your department.
Would be what?
I'm going to give you facts. I will tell you that during the day, Millstone's career staff will be here before us. Fact is, at night, Monroe's career staff will be here before Millstone's volunteers. Just the facts. That in itself, you should see benefit as a resident and a taxpayer at night while you're sleeping.
I think someone...
Ms. Porter?
You said that it takes you 6.5 minutes. Oh, I'm sorry.
What's the name for it?
12 Farm Lane, Roosevelt, New Jersey.
There you go.
You said it takes you 6.5 minutes from where you are on Applegarth Road to get here?
6.5 minutes from the swim club.
The swim club?
Yes, 571.
Where are you coming from? It takes me longer than 6.5 minutes to get to Wawa, and that's on this side of 33.
And I put the timer on the clicker.
Well, you've got to check, check your clicker.
But Reverend Porter, would you
kindly
speak into the
Wawa.
Speak into the microphone?
So I'm just trying to clarify time-wise. My problem is... My thought is for the safety of the residents of Roosevelt. And when someone shows up, the familiar face, that is also helpful. And I knew you when you were this
absolutely.
High in Clark.
Absolutely.
That's all I want to say.
It is.
Mr. Lopez.
Sam Lopez, 7 Homestead Lane. Don't feel you have to answer this because it's going to be a little bit more of a personal.
It's hard. Can't hear you.
Can't hear you.
Ooh, okay. Loud up, Sammy. Loud up.
Sorry. Don't feel as if you have to answer this because it's going to be a personal opinion question. In your professional opinion, would you say it'd be beneficial to keep the Roosevelt Fire Department?
You can look at that in my professional.
Maintaining a fire department has benefits and it has withdrawals. Benefit is township residents maintain that township continuity. Obviously, we know everybody in the room. Monroe firefighters come in. Now, I will tell you that I've been responding into Roosevelt for 33 years between Millstone and Monroe. And she remembers when I was a little child. So it does have a little bit of continuity factor. The one thing that you have to remember is Chief Archer will agree everybody that would respond will be volunteers. I know a lot of gentlemen, I know probably 95% of the members in the department, and they all work. Problem being, what happens if Millstone is the daytime response? We have different staggered times for the volunteers getting home from work. What's your coverage basis then? You're back to that. You don't have anybody responding because people agree you've got a time period from when people are coming home from work. Phil, you know that you have approved home from work.
I'm confused. I thought the question, or maybe you misstated or I misunderstood. I thought he was asking about Roosevelt versus Monroe, and
no.
You were saying something about Millstone.
No.
Yeah, he's nodding his head.
He wanted to know what my opinion was about maintaining a fire department. Am I correct? Am I right?
Okay. My bad.
I'm answering his question.
Yeah, yeah, no, okay.
And as long as I hit the nail on the head for you?
Yeah, perfect.
Okay.
I didn't mean to stop your answer. I was just getting confused. You said something about Millstone, and I just was a little...
Right. Millstone would be normally your daytime coverage, correct? If you didn't go with Monroe. Who responds to your door today right now? Okay. Their career guys get off at 6 p.m. Most of your guys get home between 6:45, 7:30, in that time period. Some maybe a little bit later, right? That leaves you that open time period. So,
yep.
That's basically everything.
Another question, or can these gentlemen Well, you can't sit down.
I have one more question if the public doesn't.
Okay. Well, I'm talking about the public portion. Yeah. Okay. So we close the public portion. And
okay. Chief Corbin, do your firefighters submit to background checks?
Basically, anyone that is in Monroe and Millstone, we all have state police background checks, which it's no longer the state police. It's that SAG Jim Morph, but everybody has background checks, yes. We require it.
And also, do they sign the National Code of Ethics?
It's read to them, so they're aware of it. Our career guys, it's in our operating manual. The volunteers are given the code.
Sorry, for the record, you said the National Code of Ethics. Is that what you
Yes. National yes. Firefighters Code of Ethics.
Yeah, Firefighters Code of Ethics.
Firefighters
yeah.
Code of Ethics. They just didn't hear it.
Okay. So you said that they're required to submit to background checks?
We require.
Right. So is that's an individual municipality or fire departments?
Currently, it's an individual municipality. The state, 9 years ago, had talked about making it a requirement. Nothing's ever come forward as a requirement.
I see it on the back of the applications.
Right.
You have to put your Social Security number in so that they can facilitate your background check.
But you require it in Monroe.
Correct.
Yeah, so does Roseville. Okay. Just saying.
Okay. Please. When it comes to fire hydrants, which we're lucky enough to have here, would you guys come in and flush the hydrants and check pressure on them and on a routine kind of basis?
We would not do routine maintenance, but we would, in target areas, see what the hydrant flow is. And we all know what the target areas are. The factory session.
School.
Okay, the school and the village.
Senior citizens.
Yes, because of the amount of clusters and the size of the buildings. They would be your target areas.
Could you do them all for us just so we would have it once so we see?
We wouldn't do them all. We would pick strategic areas so we know
the end of the line or something like
correct.
That.
It would be in the middle.
Yeah.
You never want to go to the end of the line.
Okay.
The water company should do annual maintenance and do hydrant flows. I don't know if that's...
Water.
Yeah, we do.
Okay. Thank you, sirs. Okay.
What kind of dog do you have?
Brittany.
What?
A Brittany.
Oh. No. You said a Brittany.
I have Brittany's.
By the end of the evening?
Yeah.
Well, thank you. Are you?
Mm-hmm.
What?
I was going to thank him for his time, but I was checking to see if you had more questions.
Commenting on the dog. Okay. No, I do.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I do. So... Your residence, so we do the contract, $30,000 a year, 3 years, comes year four, you say, oh, Roosevelt doesn't have a lot of fires, we're going to keep it at $30,000 or maybe even lower it. Your residents aren't going to be upset that you're offering the same service outside of town for less money than you're charging your own residents?
Shared service agreements are very well known throughout Monmouth County. And it normally is call-based, not tax-based.
I'm sorry. Clarify something for me. Where did shared service come from? We're talking about a direct service contract with a fire district, correct?
Exactly.
Okay.
But, yeah, that's just most of them go via call.
Residents are not going to be upset that you're selling us services for less than what they're paying.
We're not responding to the amount of calls that we're responding to elsewhere.
And that would be your justification for your own townspeople.
Absolutely.
Because a council member had recently argued for the amount of water, the amount of money that we pay for water. If we started selling water outside of town for one penny less than what we're currently paying, I think a lot of residents would be pretty unhappy about that. And I don't care how conservative they are, how short their showers are, how infrequently they flush their toilets. If they're paying one penny less than what Roosevelt residents are paying for the same water for the same service, Roosevelt residents would be very unhappy.
that is also based on a gallon of usage, correct?
I have a question for Mr. Cardinals. Okay.
You want to go first? It's fine.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, Ms. Bonner.
Write it out.
You're done? Okay. Mr. Hamilton?
Sorry. Anyhow, do you view this as beneficial in any way for your fire department and your fire district and your citizens, the fact that there would be $30,000 of additional revenue coming into your department? And in some way, would that be beneficial to you?
I don't want this to sound insulting at all, but the size of our budget right now, that would really have very little impact as far as intake at $30,000. I mean, we would probably earmark that for Chief to use for fire prevention or go into the general operating fund.
Okay.
It's not a significant amount of, just in relation to our budget. I know it's a lot of money. It's in relation to our budget. Beneficially, again, I don't want to say we don't have a dog in this fight, but we're offering a service. We want you guys, everybody, to make an informed decision tomorrow when they vote, mm-hmm. and know that if it is a no, that there are options. And again, if it's a no tomorrow, and it still might not be a good fit, Monroe. Okay. Maybe Millstone comes to the table, and you know. But we just want you to have the option.
Okay. My other question is, do you have approvals through your Board of Commissioners, or whatever you call it, to offer us, Roosevelt, a three-year, $30,000 per year contract?
Yes.
We do. Okay. And that was voted on and approved?
Yes.
Great. Thank you.
The devil, of course, being in the details.
Yes. Yeah, I just have one point, if you think I'm missing anything here. Given the nature of the way fire, as it applied to Millstone as well, given the nature of the way fire district commissioners are elected in three-year cycles, and given also generally the very low level of participation in fire district elections, there's probably a fairly good probability that the same people, if they want to keep being reelected, probably will keep being reelected. But would it still be accurate to say that if people came out and voted and wanted somebody out, they, in 3 years from now, there could be a totally different group of commissioners here at a Millstone or any other district?
100%.
You should be aware of that. Absolutely. So that a commitment beyond 3 years, there's no guarantee that it's going to be.
That is a possibility, but I will say I have been a commissioner for 21 years.
Okay. Well, you're a local boy there, so. Any more questions, or can we let these gentlemen go? Well, we closed the public portion, John.
Can he come to the podium?
Yeah, John, if you're going to... I really don't want to reopen the... Okay, go ahead. Come on.
John Lenoir, 5 Elm Court, Roosevelt. My question was, just say they vote no and they do away with the fire department. The 16 active members, then we go away. Now, you have a contract for 3 years, right? Or it's on the table.
Right.
What happens if just say they contract you guys for 3 years? After 3 years, they go, whoopsie. Maybe we ought to get our guys back. What's the chance, you think, we're ever coming back?
For the right reason? For the right reason, some of you may. You know that.
I would say...
You know that. Some of you may not.
I would say no. None of us would. Because if they vote no, we're all going to turn in our keys. We're already talking about it.
John,
in 3 years, you're not going to go, whoopsie.
I believe you asked your question and got your answer.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate your coming.
Thank you.
And
thank you very much, guys.
Okay, okay. Ladies and gentlemen, I've been asked for a 5-minute recess, so we're going to go ahead and do that. Turned off. Recess was 8:30. Sorry, I would have done
that. For you to get your certificate from the state, you send an application to the state with all of the requirements from the state for the certificate that you get. on the back of that page, it asks for your Social Security number so that it can expedite your background check.
If the municipality requires the background check.
This is for the state certificate.
I know what it's for. There is no law. This is why we had the research done. There is no law that requires that a background check be done on an emergency services volunteer.
If you would have asked, I would have passed that application to you, and then Rich could have looked at that and said, oh, this is different.
Well, also,
the fact that the state asked for something does not mean that they are entitled to it. That's how they put on the form. You can fill it in or not fill it in, depending upon what your town does.
All right.
If your town requires that, you can, at your option, by the way. You never have to report your Social Security number, but all of these folks
said it was required.
It's not required. It's not required
but
by law.
Also, you wrote that as a rebuttal to Joe's safety report, and you never stated that.
I can't rebut something that's just a statement of law. I can say we've complied with it, which is what I did.
I don't want to get into all the juicy part of this, but I just want to try to focus on.
Want to get the bill list paid.
Yeah, I know. Me too, actually. When we see something and we don't have a tag on it that says who requested that work, it becomes very difficult to figure out for finance, and people have to sign off on it, whether or not that was ordered or whether or not you decided that you needed to do this work. So it would be helpful if you had on every billable item requested by whomever it was requested by, so that we know it's something that was ordered. The second point that I'd like to make is, it's very difficult to pay any invoice of any sort without knowing if the product was delivered. And as a council person, I didn't receive anything that says, by the way, since this was a question before the council and we had a lot of questions and discussion about it, by the way, our borough attorney did 7 hours of research and determined that it's not actually required, it's suggested or whatever, then we would have known that product was delivered and that particular line item, that we had it. And I think we ought to all have the advantage, if we're going to pay for a borough attorney, why can't we all be advised, all of the members of the public body? I'd like to know, because I know much more when I'm advised of things, and I think that often you do really good work, and I'd like to have the benefit of that. And not just in with a few people, but I think,
Mike,
if we can find a way.
You prepared
if we
a
can
memo.
Find a, if we can find a way that we could share that so I know that it was delivered.
You prepared a memo in which you suggested how we should approach legal billing. And I had some concerns about it, but overall I thought it was a good idea, and I was waiting for the finance department, committee, to sign and say, okay, this is what we want to suggest,
have
the council discuss it.
That was discussed in administration.
Administration, okay, whichever.
No, in administration, that's different, but I'm sure we can discuss it. But I'm saying what would be helpful to know is whether or not on any invoice, no matter what it is, whether it's legal advice or deliveries, that something was received. Who was involved, who received it, who ordered it.
Okay,
just
but when you say received, I really don't want to get into it now. I'm saying we should go over your memo. When you say received, when you say, now I want it all written up, that exponentially increases the cost. So if I call up and say, does the 10th commandment say I can kill somebody, then
I'm not
I need a memo
that.
On it.
I'm right, just so. Asking for a simple memo that says that Rich researched this and found this to be the case. Just a quick little thing, not one of those long, involved, 2 or 3 pages.
And I'm not disagreeing with you. What I'm suggesting is that it starts getting very tricky as to what's privileged, what's not privileged. We ought to go through that memo as a council or whatever.
I don't think
great. We ought to go through that council. I keep getting explained to me how whatever.
It's also very tricky that some people have access to information and some people don't.
Rich, could you do that? Would that be able to tag it with who ordered it and
I think for many
transmit it to the council members?
I think for many of those things we can do that.
Right.
Thank you.
Perhaps if you indicate which committee is involved, so it goes to the appropriate committee head, at the very least, that would be
right. Okay.
That would be one way of doing it, I think.
makes sense. Okay.
Just a question. Since you prepared a memo and I asked you guys to go through it and come up with something clean, is there a problem with that?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear.
You prepared a draft memo.
Yeah.
That talked about how you wanted to handle billing, right. Lawyer billing, et cetera.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. I had a series of questions on it. I asked if it was final. You said no. And can we get a final one so we can discuss it? Because
you
put a lot of things in there,
yes.
some of which violate the confidentiality of the privilege rules, some of which don't, some of which cause the price to go up, some of which cause to go down. So I want to talk about...
Well, I just want to tell you what happened. It went to administration committee. The administration committee met on it, and I don't want to mischaracterize it, but we decided that it was kind of water under the bridge since the contract was already approved and was waiting to be signed. And that it was something that would be that we would talk about, perhaps ongoing down the line. Yeah, and right, and not in particular with this year's contract. But I just think it'd be helpful to know, and that's all I'm saying. You know.
Okay, so what I am asking the committee to do,
yes,
is to put that memo in a more finished form,
okay,
so that we can discuss it
for finance.
Whoever put that initial memo together, I don't remember whether it was finance or administration. Who wrote it?
No,
I did, but I'm on both, so I don't.
Oh, okay. All right.
So it was discussed in administration committee, and at the time we had a long list of things that the administration committee had to work on. We chose to prioritize job descriptions for employees because we thought that was the highest priority, whereas negotiating the contract with a lawyer would be for the following year. We'd start out in September, we'd get through it in October, November, and then work on it for the new year because all of our professional services are named at the first meeting in January. So it was merely a matter of prioritization. If you're asking us to prioritize that higher now, then we'll be happy to do so.
Yes. Yeah, I'm asking
if... I agree with Councilwoman Lapote, but all I'm asking is for more detailed billing, and we don't have to adjust the contract to get that. To just have a detail and also to...
I think I understand.
Yeah, to get that
okay,
advice, good. So that we all have that advice and not just one person.
I would that's where it starts getting touchy. But what I would like to say is that I'm not saying that this is the basis of the new contract. I'm saying that to the extent that there is a question, we should have procedures for how we contact for legal services.
Right.
What things that come back are privileged versus not privileged. How long, that type of stuff. Because when I read that and looking at it from both a financial I actually spent 4 years managing outside law firms.
Yeah.
So I'm very attuned to
keeping it
under control.
But you know, these were recommendations from the state comptroller's office. So
the recommendations were
from that.
They're kind of out of date. So I'm just suggesting that we should, before the next time it comes up,
yeah.
Let's see if we can get it straightened out.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But
I would really like to see, this sounds to me more like a finance issue than an administration issue if we're talking about dollars billed.
I think we'll move it to finance, if that's agreeable.
Jill, your thoughts?
It's both, though, I think, really, because if we're going to work on policy, we need to do it in administration.
Yeah.
Are there same people in finance and administration?
But if you're looking for some... Well, policy, we already decided, yes, we all agree.
No, contract. We didn't discuss policy on it.
Okay.
Policy may be a different
right.
matter.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll do that in committee. Save a little bit of time.
Are the same people on both committees?
We're still on the bills list,
no.
Right? I'm on both.
He's on both.
I'm on finance and administration, so
okay.
I'm kind of stuck in between.
Can I get a motion on the bills, which is where we started about an hour ago?
Thank you.
Yeah. All of them.
Motion to
the
pay
bill
the bills.
List.
No, we had
to
move.
As I said, 17-01-93,
KTK. Wait, where is that? KTK?
Page 2.
KTK, okay. At 26 Farm Lane?
I'm sorry?
You want to exclude the excavation at 26 Farm Lane? Then abstain on the whole bills list.
Okay.
I don't think we have,
So the ones that are being removed, LBVs, we're looking at that and separate. We'll vote on that separately.
No, we're not removing LBVs. That's what we decided. We going forward.
We won't do it again, but we're going to pay it this.
Well, with the exception of the fact that they just did it, but going forward from this point on, we won't do it. We won't feed them anymore.
Unless we decide to do a potluck that we agree and vote on at the council.
We won't buy food.
I'll cook. I'm a good cook.
Huh?
I'll cook. I'm good. Make good coffee, too.
Move to pay the bills?
Move. Somebody move to pay the bills?
Move to pay the bills.
No, we already had motion to pay the bills, didn't we?
No, we never got there.
Oh, my God.
It's slow down.
Are we excluding anything or next?
I agreed to pay the 174 because that's a big admission. Yeah. Didn't stop the speech though, so I'm not sure what I'm going to do it.
Do I have a second?
So that one's withdrawn, but
we're I'll throw in more money to the town. Mr. Ellentuck will pay $174 in reimbursement. I'm sorry. Will abstain from getting reimbursement for $174.
Okay.
Is that clear? Good.
$174.09,
comprised of 37.45, 68.32, and 68.32. Okay. So do we have a...
Do I have a first?
Thank you. Do we have a second?
Second.
We have a roll call. All right, I'll buy the beer.
Ms. Bona?
Aye.
Mr. Hamilton?
Abstain.
Ms. Lapodi?
Aye.
Ms. Malkin?
Aye.
Mr. Tickton?
Abstain.
Mr. Tremell?
Aye.
Is that aye?
Yes.
Oh, thank God.
What was the vote on that?
4-0.
Okay. Where's the darn agenda? Here we go. Okay. There are no other resolutions. I'm afraid to do this, but reports of committees.
I'll try to make it as quickly as we can.
Mr. Hamilton, Public Works.
Okay. What time is it, by the way?
9:15.
Okay. Well, let me try to make it fairly short. The main event, of course, was the snowstorm of March 14. And as a result of that, there were a lot of activities that happened that involved our Public Works Department and responses by some of our contractors. I guess we could start again, and I know the mayor went over a lot of these timelines, but on 3/12, the Sunday before the forecasted snowstorm, the mayor called a snow advisory meeting. I received a notice about 4:02 in the afternoon. The meeting was scheduled for 6:30. Unfortunately, I didn't get the message because I was working, so I couldn't attend. But there was an outline of all the different things that the borough was going to do to try to cope with.
There was an agenda, Mike. There was an agenda. Are we going to go through all of this again?
No, I hope not. But okay. I just wanted to give my report, and then if you want to talk about it after that. I'm going to try not to be...
it's too late
to elaborate too much on everything. But there was a snow advisory meeting that was scheduled for 6:30, and there were a lot of things that were outlined to be done during that snow advisory meeting to deal with the snowstorm. And I think that a lot of people were involved, and I think our response in general to the snowstorm, considering it was pretty difficult to handle, was well planned. At least it seemed to be well organized, and I think it's wise to have, when you expect an event like this, a meeting of the various agencies and people who would be needed to help out with it. We had trees down during the snowstorm, and there was a lot of snow and ice, and one of the problems was the snow came down so quickly. There was like 2 or 3 inches an hour during part of the snowstorm, and it was very difficult early on. And then it froze up. It slushed up, and it froze up. And so there was a tree down, I think, on Valley Road, and Allen Tree Service responded, our fire department responded to block the road and make sure that people were safe. KTK was there. We had some problems with the parking area in front of the first aid bays. There was a lot of ice there, and I know we received a report on that that's a difficult thing because the wheels will spin if people are trying to move out of there and they need to get access to those bays. And the next day on 315, I was up and around about 5 o'clock in the morning touring the town, and there were real significant problems in the school area, specifically on School Lane. The sidewalks were packed with ice that was about an inch thick, but it was a solid sheet of ice all along the sidewalk where people pull up to drop off their children. Also, the entrance area to the school, the main entrance area, the area that's right outside of here, was like a sheet of ice, too. And some of the school employees were out there chipping at it and trying to get it so that the school could open. They had a delayed opening that day. Also, the entranceway, the other entranceway over near the library was also packed with ice. And I think there are significant liability issues for people when they're pulling up in cars, dropping off kids. And I believe those sidewalks are borough property. We need to be really, they're not.
Are you talking about
liability attached to that?
The school takes care of its property and its street up to, I mean, historically, yeah. The truck's out, right? Yeah. So we just do the circle and clear it out for them. Yeah. Yeah. But the sidewalks are on the school property are the school's responsibility.
Okay, all right, good.
They do have a crew, I think.
Yeah, Millstone came with a couple of their trucks, and they responded, and they were very, very helpful. So that was coordinated well, too. But you know, I spent 3 hours chipping ice with this big icebreaker kind of thing. But the school had a delay opening, but we're able to open. But what I'm saying is it was a very significant storm in a way, even though we didn't get what was predicted. We had a lot of icing conditions that were very problematic that were underneath the snowpack. And I know a lot of people did a lot of different things for it, and I just like to comment and compliment on all the people who were involved, people who came to the meetings to try to coordinate things, the mayor, to try making sure that there was a good planned response to this event, which resulted also in the postponing of the election, which I think is a good call because it would have been very difficult for people in those conditions to be safe and attend and be there at that election. There were other trees down, too, in town. There was a tree that came down on 571. Yeah, perhaps it was related to an accident there that happened.
I don't think that. I mean, there was a very bad accident on St. Patrick's Day, but I don't think the tree was related to that.
But there was a tree that came down.
The tree came down from the wind the other day.
Yeah. We had like 2 or 3 major trees fall, block access to roads, and I think everybody responded very well to that. And I'm complimenting on everybody for the job that they did as a team, and also complimenting the mayor on his job of making sure that was well coordinated and having some foresight to make sure that everybody was in place and to know what the plan was. One of the things that we need to do under Public Works is to work on contractor specifications for maintaining some of the wonderful little parks that we have now. I don't know if people know, there's a new pocket park that's kind of behind Bob Clark's house off of 571, Clarksburg Road, if you want to call it that. And it's really going to be a great little butterfly garden kind of pocket park. But we need to be careful about it because it's a new area, new plantings there. I have a good map, but I keep on missing Eitan from the Environmental Commission chair. And what I'd like to do before we actually do the work that the contractor is going to do as far as mowing is make sure that we have good specifications and a walkthrough with the contractor and also a member of the Invasive Species Committee, you know, to make sure that area is well cared for so that they don't mow down young plantings that are just planted there. And again, I'd like to compliment the Environmental Commission and all the committees related to it for these lovely little parks in Roosevelt. I think they're great. I think they're one of the things that we all appreciate and love about Roosevelt is little tucked away areas. So we'll have to work on that before. I don't know whether or not we should approve the contract and then add these things or take some time. And
no, we don't. We don't have a. No, the specifications are under actually under old business.
Okay.
As long as we get somebody hired, I don't think it makes. But what else is in that contract? Does that cover all of the mowing, or
yeah,
just
the specifications is what every contractor has done for the last few years. So
right.
Adding in the pocket park, we have to add more specifications to go out.
So that's the full landscaping contract.
Right, that's
okay.
Full.
So how do you
all
want
right,
to do
so
that?
If
so
you want to add in the specifications, as public chair, you can do that, and then we'll present it to whoever.
Okay.
Yeah, it's one of the monarch gardens. We may have gotten some before,
yeah.
Some specifications before, but yeah, by all means.
Because we keep on adding these wonderful little areas, and we just need to make sure that they're, especially when they're new and.
Yeah,
I'm
suggesting that unless we have an urgency for, I don't think we need the lawns mown before the next meeting.
Yeah.
So my suggestion would be talk to Eitan, take the walk, whoever you want, and then.
Great.
Okay. Come back with the specs, and you might want to look at the specs that are on the existing contract.
Yeah.
So it sort of matches them.
Okay, good.
Okay. But yeah, and then just send it out and we'll.
Yeah, okay, great. Yeah. And that's the end of my report.
And can I just say something quickly about Mike's report?
Sure.
There's a tree, and Kurt Moser mentioned it at the last meeting. It's just on this side of the tower.
Okay, which tree is it? Been up and down that road like.
It's about 30 degrees. It's going to go over.
There's what? Actually two of them.
Where?
Yeah, right on the side of the road.
The tree commission is aware of it.
It
they
will,
got called, and they are aware of it.
It will take the power lines
what
down when
do.
It comes down.
Yeah, they're not. It's not in. It's on the 571 right away, and it's not in.
As you're coming from Hightstown on 571 to Roosevelt, you just passed the power lines. It's on your right. Look up. You'll see it.
I'm sorry, Joe. Passed the what lines?
Power lines.
Power lines, okay.
The high-tension wires. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. That sucker will come down. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But there's another one, too, right?
Yeah, there's another one a little bit down further, but Shade Tree Commission does know about
it. Yeah. Okay.
So we have to wait for Shade Tree Commission because it's not on our
let's
property.
Let's hope it's not a windy day in between. And also where the St. Patrick's accident happened, St. Patrick's Day accident, that guardrail is in pieces now. That's pretty much crushed.
Say that again, Joe. I didn't quite hear you.
The guardrail in front of near the gas station, okay, is crushed, I believe, from the accident. And it's and Kurt also brought
that
up that
was
that
actually
that
from the tree.
Oh, okay.
It was from the tree, not
that.
That
was that tree.
Yes.
But Kurt also brought up that that's the wrong type of guardrail. If you head into that, it'll cut your car.
They were out yesterday looking at it. That's
okay.
The county public
all right.
Working.
Just for Mike's committee, I want to give them more
yeah.
work. That's all.
Thank you, Joe.
No problem.
Mr. Tickton, Community Development, Code Enforcement, and Senior
okay.
Rep.
Okay. First of all, Mr. McGrath, he's stepped out, but I checked with him. He's coming back because I think we want his comments on the old business items about the approval, you know, whether he isn't. It wasn't clear whether he's approved exactly what he's recommending we do at this time about these two applications for licenses. So he's indicated to me that he is on his way back, so we shall see him hopefully by the time we hit old business. One thing I did want to say that he has been, I passed by the property at the end, 36 Farm Lane at the end of Farm Lane, which has had a problem for many years of the stucco coming off and, you know, it looked like it's sort of disintegrating. And it is being repaired now, and this is one that he's been pushing for a long time. I had a great deal of trouble finding the owner for a while at state police looking for him and everything else, but apparently this has been rectified because the work is being done and that house is finally being fixed up. That's been a real concern. The owner of the attached house had complained bitterly about it because it hurt the value of his house a great deal, but that's being, that's one of our code enforcement problems that has been is being addressed.
That's which is 36 Farm?
36 Farm, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a house, it's one of these attached houses where, unlike the others that are two stories side by side, this one is, it's parallel instead of perpendicular to the street, so there's a front house and a back house.
Oh,
and the front house has been the one that has really been looked very neglected, much to the detriment of the back house, much to the detriment of the area also. But it's being fixed up now, and I think he's really been after them, so it's good that it was done. Okay, and again, anything further on the marijuana facility that we have at all?
We've been busy on a couple of other issues, so no, I haven't called them about a pot.
We haven't heard any communication. Okay, there's nothing else that I have at this point.
So, pot call.
Any news?
Oh, you said senior. Oh, yes, I'm sorry. They're putting me in a senior representative also. The May 2nd, the county health department will be doing a presentation on general preparedness for emergencies. And the way it's going to work is people are, you know, invited to come there. They listen to the program and see the video and everything else. Then if they follow up and there's whatever they have to submit, written submissions or something, and they do this, they effect complete the course, they will then get a packet worth about $100 worth of supplies for emergency supplies. So this is something we want to make sure seniors know about.
Okay, cool.
They're not going to keep anyone. The health department says they're not keeping anyone away who's a non-senior, but it's basically aimed at the senior population. Okay. I'm sorry? Oh, yes. And another thing, well, I think this is down as a new business, so we'll talk about that, yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Anything new on the store? Just on a question.
On the what?
On the store, the deli?
No.
That's what I said. When Mr. McGrath comes in, this is one of the items there. Is
one of the further items further down. Ms. Bonner, administration and environmental rep.
Unfortunately, I was not able to attend the last Environmental Commission meeting. However, our vice chair, Mary Tellis, is here. She should wait until the end of the committee chairs, and then we'll have her come up.
Put it under reports of borough officials? Okay.
Yes. That's all I have tonight. Thank you, Mayor.
Okay, I guess our deputy clerk doesn't have a report. Does our clerk have a report? Anything you want to add? Always a fun time. Counselor, any report?
In the middle of February, the acting director of the Division of Alcohol Beverage Control had asked for a further extension to make a decision on the recommended decision of Judge Ascione, in which he had recommended that no special ruling be given to the one alcoholic beverage license the borough has. Those extensions usually last 45 days. So within a few days, we may finally be getting a decision, maybe, let's see. On February 27th, I met along with Kelly and Deb Thomas with Frank Lucchese of PSE&G to address the borough's concerns, which were twofold. One was regarding the meter that had not been installed. It was installed shortly before the meeting, seemingly in the middle of the night. So the meter was there, and it had not been tested as of the time of the meeting, but we were informed later that it has since been tested, the line to the meter, and that is a working order. And we also met regarding the repairs and restorations that need to be done through at several places throughout the borough. And I know we got an update. I saw an email of March 7, 2017, an update on them working on it. I haven't heard anything since then. Mr. Lucchese also reported to us that PSE&G is going through a three-year initiative to replace cast iron piping with light tech plastic, a gas system modernization. And he did not know when that would reach Roosevelt, but that it eventually would sometime within the 3 years. And at that time, persons would be let know because there will be a period where they're going to shut the gas off. And he said that would not, it would be at the outside. The gas would be shut off to a residence for 3 hours, probably closer to 1 hour. But at, I have not heard of any specific timetable as to Roosevelt on that. He was just saying it was coming. That's all I have there.
Thank you. Councilmember Malkin, Finance and Planning Board Rep.
Well, from Finance, as I'm sure you can tell, I've been busy scrutinizing all the bills because, as we've said before, we think there's there hasn't been a lot of oversight. There's been a great deal of what we think is unnecessary expenditures in the last year or so. So we've really been going over all the bills that are presented to us. And soon we'll be working, we'll be soon time to start working on the budget, but that hasn't happened yet. We're waiting for the CFO. And as far as planning board, the planning board met and finalized the 10-year review of the master plan. As I've said before, this is something that the borough is required to do every 10 years, just do a review of our master plan. So it was discussed among the planning board members and our Tom Thomas, who is the planning board, his exact title, he's just
planner.
And also with some input from the public. And that was submitted on March 24th. And we haven't really heard anything since then, but I don't necessarily think we will hear anything, just that it went through all the necessary procedures. And that's really it. It's 9:30. I'm not going to go into
that. So, to that with the annual review, the 10-year review of the master plan, the reason that's so important is if you don't do it, then that triggers all your land use ordinances being unenforceable. So it's something, you just, even if you make no changes, you still have to have, show that you have reviewed it, you've looked at everything,
review.
You've concluded it, and okay, now you're free for 10 more years and you can enforce your ordinances.
So, do we have a temporary budget yet?
We're in a temporary budget now.
Yeah, that's that was
we're in a temporary budget
on.
Now.
Do we pass the temporary budget?
No.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
That's in January. That's at your reorg. You do a temporary budget.
We did it at the reorg.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
so we're not doing
that.
I'm not sure it was not the reorg.
Yeah, we did.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
And
right, which is what I'm trying
that's
to avoid.
That's what we operate on until we pass the new budget.
Yeah, got it. Okay, and I would like to have our budget for once done in accordance with the timing of the statute, because that would make us all feel warm and fuzzy. Councilmember Lapote, Utilities.
I reported previously on the repair of the roof at the water plant. And unfortunately, the roof has leaked again. Rainwater was collecting on the roof, and Route 24 came out to clear the roof drains again. And it seems that the new strainers, which were put over the roof drains, have a lip on them that allows the water to collect for about an inch to maybe an inch and a half, and that weight of the water on the roof then causes it to leak. And so After Route 24 cleared the roof drains again, those strainers were removed and a smaller strainer was put on so that you won't have the standing water on the roof, hopefully. And hopefully this time we may have collected the, we may have corrected the problem of the roof on the water plant.
Who recommended the strainers with the lip?
That was the roofing contractor, and he came out and corrected the issue with the strainers as part of his warranty on the job.
Did it cause any damage inside the building?
Well, the damage inside the building is that water has leaked, and so it has hurt the paint. So it looks rusty and ugly, but other than that, the water system is fine.
Thank you. Mr. Trammell?
How can we prevent that from happening?
Well, the strainers were supposed to prevent that from happening, but they caused more problems than they corrected. So maybe the new strainers will be the right thing. The roof contractor believes that these strainers should alleviate the problem. We'll just find out in the next rainstorm.
Yeah, and that's something I'd like to see Public Works come up with a routine to clear out some of that on a seasonal basis after the leaves fall, make sure that there's not debris clogging those drains.
Why wouldn't we do that through utilities?
Why wouldn't we?
Yeah.
Of course we would.
Well, I'm suggesting it not be Public Works, it'd be utilities.
It doesn't matter who does it.
Okay, somebody does it. Yeah. And you're asking why we have a problem with the Roosevelt roof? Have I got you right?
No. I think I get that.
Yeah. Councilman Trammell, Environmental Health and Safety.
Went through it already.
Okay. Now we move on to old business.
Report to borough officials. Mr. McGrath is here. I think you
have okay, borough officials. And while we're waiting for him, considering what time it is, I'd like a moment of silence for the Clarksburg Inn, which is where all of us always used to go after these meetings when it got a little raucous, and it is now closed on a moment's notice.
So,
closed for what?
Forever.
Yeah.
Gone.
When?
It closed. The employees got a text, I think, Wednesday morning, said don't come to work because there ain't no work.
We could use an inn here. We could use an inn in Roosevelt then.
Absolutely.
Roosevelt Inn. Roosevelt.
Supposedly sold the liquor license. Supposedly sold the liquor license. Let's talk after the bar. How are you?
Just when I thought I was out.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. I forgot. I apologize. I forgot that these items were on today.
Yeah, this is the Hotel California.
You had questions about the two.
Yeah, we have two items on the agenda about the two applications for licensing, the Six Farm and the One North Rochdale. And I think you could give us what your recommendations are for what if anything, we should do at this point or how we should move forward with that.
At this point, the deli has not gotten its final approval from the Board of Health. Mr. Shackley and I talked earlier. They have issued a letter with requirements for the deli, but it turns out to be the same letter that was issued previously.
Yeah.
And they've made no progress on that. So at this point, authorizing the rental upstairs, which is required to be a family or an employee, we have no idea who that's going to be. So I think that can be pushed off to a future date because there is no urgency there. Six Farm is a different story. As you know, there was a lot of litigation in that matter. And substantial fines from the court to the owner. Majority of the work has been completed. We do not have a certificate of occupancy yet. There will be some conditions yet for the certificate of occupancy. They didn't meet. Their argument is that they met the list that I was asked to prepare for the judge. But that list also included a line that said, and the any requirements for the certificate of occupancy. I'm glad I did that. We still have some things to do there. So at this point in time, I would ask you to postpone it another month so that we can get those items completed, because this particular landlord has been a problem for years, and it took a real fight to get this property cleaned up. And I think that we need to make sure that it's 100% before we go ahead, because I don't think they're going to take good care of it.
I'm sorry, Joe, were you asking for it till next meeting or another month? You said another month, so I wasn't quite
sure.
Why don't
we do the next meeting? In the meantime, I'll ask them to come in for a CO inspection, and we can address those issues. And if they don't comply, then we can push it off again.
You just keep us currently informed and let us know when you find that they are in compliance.
I will do that. They slapped a coat of paint on it, and that doesn't necessarily mean that everything is the way it should be. So we're staying on top of that. And also, while I'm here, I'm going to be going out with some notices that I'll take care of, and about spring cleanups, to try to get everybody to understand what it is we're looking for now that the winter's over, to get rid of things that have been laying around all winter and clean up yards, that kind of stuff, just in general. And that might help a little bit, a little spring cleaning.
Now, could you be more specific? What are you going to ask people to do?
Well, we're going to remind them of what the codes are, and ask them, debris in the yards. We've got a couple of properties where they've been stashing stuff all winter. It's built up and needs to be addressed. And we're going to go out with a letter and ask them to clean it up. And I'll be making the rounds just to make sure that we remind them in a friendly way.
It's like clean your junk up.
Yeah, it's spring cleaning time. Yeah. To get everything ready for the spring. It's a good time to start doing it. So, and a lot of people are unaware of the codes. So we're going to try to remind them and get that out either through the newsletter or hand deliver, whatever. But we're going to work on that.
Where do you draw the line between what's junk and what's art?
That's the tough question all the time. I was told at one house that three dumpsters load of stuff was just some personal gatherings. So, it really depends on what it is. There are some basic standards. We have the borough has a property maintenance ordinance, which you've adopted. So we basically follow those guidelines.
I believe the borough has a trash pickup, big garbage day, scheduled for the first week in May. So this may be a timely notice.
We can target for that week.
Put things out for that, then they won't have to pay for having them removed. The borough will have them removed.
Absolutely. So I will keep that in mind.
That'd be great.
Yeah. Anything else?
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Sure.
New business medicine drop box. Oh, I just got something, by the way, and I know I made a light of the closing of the Clarksburg, but Betty Witherspoon, a longtime resident, died recently, Tuesday, actually. Services are going to be April 6th at 7 p.m., it looks like the First Presbyterian Church in Hightstown. So, right, number three we already did, right? Maintenance of public land, we've already done, right? Yeah, that's to go out and get those specs, okay. So now we get the medicine drop box.
The medical drop box is one of the things the borough can get credit for in its attempt to get the bronze certification, environmental certification, is if we have... I'm sorry? Yes, good. Why don't you talk sustainable New Jersey?
For a sustainable New Jersey.
Right. Yes, for the record. That's one of the things that we can have is we have a facility for the collection of old medications that people... they're expired, people don't use anymore, but they shouldn't be put into the sewage system, and they should be collected. The county sheriff recently came out with a program that they will collect these medications. So if we can arrange for the county sheriff's office to set up some drop-off facility at the borough, and then that they can, if they will come and pick it up, or we bring it to them, or whatever. For the sheriff, but I said an ongoing basis. I think it's an ongoing basis that the sheriff is going to be collecting these things. So, you can contact the sheriff's office and find it.
I do have information on this, and the county sheriff will be present at the next senior citizens meeting.
Right, okay.
If the seniors would like to bring their medicine to the borough hall, or actually any resident could bring their expired medicines to the borough hall and get rid of them. We don't have a drop box just yet. There's an issue. It has to. Once you're putting a bunch of prescription medicine into a box, you want to make sure it's secured. So that becomes an issue. That's why this particular time and location, they will have a sheriff's deputy there to collect the medicine and take it away.
I want to ask a question about that. Will there be any provision or anything for dropping off anything that would be considered medical sharps? Because I know some people who have had animals that they have to give insulin injections to, and they have a big thing full of needles, and
yes.
You don't want them lying around the house.
No.
Would we be able to drop off anything like that, or citizens?
This is not a needle drop. This is just a prescription medicine drop, and you do have to take the label off the medicine when you hand it in. But the sharps issue is another issue that that's the county sheriff doesn't need to be involved in the sharps collection. You should be able to bring them back to any veterinarian, medical office, or drugstore, and they will take them back.
Drugstores, too.
Yeah.
Jill, if I may add, Deborah.
Needles or poppers, because I think there's a difference. Because I know, like, diabetics, you know, when they have insulin, that's not exactly like a needle. It's a popper, which is different. Which I think.
Deborah Thomas
we can't hear you. We can't hear you.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You're talking to the mic.
I just wanted to know if they were actual needles or poppers. I know I had to give my dog, and it was called a popper, which is not as, I think, like sort of toxic as an actual needle. I think they can be disposed of in the trash, but no? Yeah, I said I wasn't sure. Even a popper? Okay.
So when I spoke with Deborah Thomas about the prescription drug take back program, she said she would also actively look into sharps.
Oh, great.
We know. Yes.
Are we still under new business? And is there? I have something.
We actually skipped over Environmental Commission again.
When did we skip over Environmental Commission?
Mary was
there.
You
were called on.
You said that Mary Thomas would then speak with the
board. Oh, right. Okay, right. Yes. Right. Oh, those, yes. Okay, my bad. Okay, can we...
I will make it very quick. One thing, when the Boy Scouts put through their trails, I think they really created all of our original woodland trails, that we had marker numbers 1 through 10 on the section from Rochdale to North Valley. And they've kind of fallen over, and some of them have disappeared. And they are still used by the school. I know for sure Ms. Bondi takes her class out there, and other teachers probably as well. So we needed to have them repaired. And what's going to happen, actually, is they're going to be replaced by some very durable trail markers. We're going to pay for these out of Ron Phillip Memorial Fund. And we're also going to have, you know, with your cell phone, you can scan, like, a code. There's going to be a code there, so you can scan if you have your phone with you and learn about what's on the trail. So that's something we did at the meeting. Also, our invasive species committee was to work. Did you work last weekend? To the pocket park that was talked about. There's a lot of redbud trees that are out there, so we needed to have a deer excluding fence put in. So place on that. Earth Day is coming up April 20th at the school. Diane Lowry, who was here a little while ago, she is the person in charge of that. The Environmental Commission makes a donation of $200 for covering a speaker, and the students will have rotating times to hear that, work on the garden, and things like that. They could use more helpers if anybody wants to come out, because there's a lot of kids running around with spades in their hands and things.
That's on the 20th, right?
The 20th, yes.
Mm-hmm. What day? That's a Saturday?
That's a Thursday.
It's a Thursday.
Yeah. And the last thing is April 29th, our stream monitoring committee is going to have a training on Saturday morning in identification of macroinvertebrates. And if the weather's good in the afternoon, we'll go out and do monitoring. We aren't sure exactly where yet. We have a very active person who's our new watershed ambassador, and he comes to every Environmental Commission meeting now. And so, yeah, it's really great to have him. Yep, that's it.
Thank you.
One other thing, to borough officials, in my capacity as borough historian, there's a couple of interesting things I just wanted to report. Number one is that we're trying to work a trip like we did 2 years ago for the 5th and 6th grade to go to Hyde Park. It was very successful 2 years ago, so we have a new 5th and 6th grade. We're trying to do that. The other thing I'm trying to arrange with the context that I have with the National New Deal Preservation Association is at the request of the principal to see if we can get a Roosevelt descendant to participate in the 80th graduation program. So we're trying to do that, too. Apparently there are quite a few great-grandchildren around. Some of them are teachers, and I think that some of them might be interested. So we'll see.
We now open up for public comment.
Before we get to that, one real quick thing, and I promise it'll be quick. I'd just like to ask for unanimous consent to enter into the public record so it'll be printed in the minutes. Our submission to the court, three council people, was mentioned in the mayor's report, and it's exact submission to the court. I didn't want to read it because it would take forever to read it, but I think following your recommendations that it be entered, something like that be entered into the public record.
That's fine. I would like to enter the rest of the record, along with the various documents, along with the certifications, along with the responses.
Right. Yeah.
You really want to enter the court documents after the judge has ruled?
No, I just wanted to.
Oh, you just want to enter yours? Yeah, okay, fine.
But we can enter it all. It's all part of the public record. Yeah.
Fine.
Okay, thank you.
We'll enter all the public documents into the record. But it's going to be a bitch to transfer that download. Okay. We now go to the public portion. Yes, Ms. Lenard.
And you don't want to forget.
No, we know every excruciating moment of it.
Deb Lenard, 5 Elm Court. Just two different questions.
Could you please state
Deb
your name?
Deb Lenard, 5 Elm Court. Just a quick question. Do we have an approximate cost of what that recent lawsuit cost the town and the taxpayers?
We would have to wait until we got the bills from the attorney and from the county.
Okay, because I know many of the town people were not aware that this was going on, several members, I guess, of the council.
We got notice at about 2:30 on Wednesday, and it went from then nonstop until, and poor Rich was sick as a dog, from 2:30 Wednesday until just around 4:30 on Friday, I think. We took, because when you go in and the judge then says, and you haven't seen the documents, they're supposed to be sent to us, but they were not. When you go in, what's supposed to happen is that you make a basic argument. The judge asks you to come back and prepare certifications and briefs. Well, briefs and certifications are basically nonstop work for the next 20 hours. So I would assume that we're going to have substantial bills from Mr. Shackley's office, from his paralegals, as well as him. I think Roger
Court
McLaughlin.
Court fees, I'm sure, all that kind of stuff.
There's a lot of.
Okay, so my point, I guess, being is that Peggy and Mike and Joe sit and really look at all of the little bills, like the cost of the food for the people at the polls and the flyers that are being distributed. But I kind of think the priorities might be a little backwards because we wouldn't need food if we didn't have referendums. And I think the costs of multiple referendums, water sewer referendums, and whatever else this most recent thing is probably costing and spending the taxpayers' money a lot more than just a little bit of food and some flyers going out. Am I correct? So I guess I'm making a point that maybe we should question their priorities about worrying about spending taxpayers' money, perhaps. The second thing I wanted to bring up, and it's just a question, as some people know, some don't, there was an accident a couple weeks ago, a flipped over vehicle. And thank you to our first responders for showing up. I understood that the millstone was called off because there were plenty of responders there. But I want to question why a council member would show up at an accident scene. Is there a reason for that? Is there other than an agenda of maybe seeing, I hear certain council members who are the head of our committee, the safety, public safety, whatever the committee is called, who constantly claim that they're very for the fire department and they're for first responders. And I don't see anything on this flyer that went out by all these people about how they support the fire department, nor do I see a reason why a council member who should just randomly show up at an accident scene, if there's any reason for that.
Generally, I'm just answering the facts, okay? Generally, the fire department that arrives first is in charge of the scene, and they can determine whether or not anybody can, you know, come into the scene or not.
Right.
I have no idea why a council person was there or not.
I just think there's other agendas, and maybe that everybody voting tomorrow hopefully looks at some of the agendas. That's all. Thanks.
Thank you for your comments. Do we have somebody else?
I'd like to make one comment. I'm not going to get into the whole thing, but we were in favor of having this referendum at the general election, which would have saved money.
We're in the public portion. Is anybody in the public? Mr. Connors?
Mark Connors, 23, North Rochdale. This was the stupidest thing I've ever seen in my life tonight. You people should be ashamed of yourselves. You acted in the most childish manners the periods of this meeting I have ever seen. And I don't direct that to the people who didn't, and I apologize to those people. If you got an argument with each other, do it outside of this room. But when you're in here, you're the council. You're supposed to be leading. If that's leading, leave. As far as committees, I understand that you govern by committee. Is that correct?
Yes. Well, committees advise the council.
Right.
Yes.
Why don't committees meet? A lot of the questions were answered here tonight because we want to make sure the people know. You should have met, had that information. If there's something that we need to know, you should put it out. 90% of this stuff is obviously petty. One person against another, against another, against another. It's got to stop. When somebody asks me where I live in this town, I give them my address. Where's that? Moser's house. Oh, okay, I know where you're at. That's because everybody was friendly back then. Apparently you knew each other. Y'all got along. Now, it's not happening. It has to stop. If you've got an agenda, keep it outside. Don't make speeches. Don't make parades. Don't make anything. Leave. Or get out of the way. But don't do what you did tonight.
Thank you. Anybody else from the audience? Mary?
Probably talked about this before, maybe at a meeting that I wasn't at, but I felt like I had to ask you kind of a couple questions. I'm going to make it very quick. I got to bring in a little bit about my personal background. I grew up in an all-white suburb of Chicago, surrounded by other all-white suburbs, and there was no diversity in school, in church, in business, that kind of thing. Well, one of the primary reasons was that it was well known that the volunteer fire departments that we all had would not come to the home of a black person and put out a fire. So that's how it was, just kind of a known kind of thing. So that's how things stood. Now, come forward to Roosevelt. We have a fire chief who seems eminently qualified to be the fire chief. I know the fire company looks up to him tremendously. He's been fighting fires since he was 16, I think he's told us. Kind of person you probably want to have show up at your house if you have a fire. But I'm not sure if it's still the case, but I used to see a Confederate flag on his car, his truck. And we all know what that symbolizes in the United States. And I particularly think about my childhood and what it meant in where I grew up. So I just want to ask, has the council had a discussion with the fire company, and are you fully convinced that everybody would be treated equally?
in case of a fire, would the fire department come and put out the fire at any citizen, regardless of their race, ethnicity, and things like that? And just second of all, do you think there's any fear in the community that they wouldn't be treated fairly? Have you tried to get people's, you know, just what do they think? Are they afraid? Do they think, no, my fire company is going to come and take care of me no matter what happens? And I just think maybe this element is a reason why some people are not supporting the fire department. So just those two questions.
I have no doubt, knowing many of these firefighters and knowing some of them since they were, say, three, that if there is a call, they will show up, period. The question about whether or not we've discussed this, the answer is no, absolutely not, not in a million years. The government, under the First Amendment, has no right to tell this gentleman what he can, and when you say it all means the same, it means the same thing to all of us. I'd like to point out that I don't agree with anything it stands for, but it certainly stands for different things to you
sure.
than it does to him.
Right. Well, and he is certainly entitled to have it, and it, there's no.
Mary, on a personal level, nobody else is listening.
Yeah.
I have asked him on numerous occasions to take it down. He has said, you know, it's my right, and I said yes, and it's their right to vote you down. But that's not the same as saying we, the council or the government, have decided that you can't have that decal or whatever.
I'm not sure if that was
no,
the question.
No, I'm not saying that.
Was that your question?
No,
I didn't
no.
get that.
That's
I didn't
not
understand.
My question.
Yeah, I didn't think that was your
no,
question.
My question is, do you feel that the fire department will respond equally to any citizen, regardless of their.
I feel that way about.
Question,
yeah, and I thought I answered. I feel that way about the fire department. I feel that way certainly about first aid. I've never had any doubt. You know, we have all kinds of different opinions about a wide variety of things, but I've never seen any of these guys or anybody in another town around here say. Quick, what's the color of the person in the house I'm going to?
Right.
I mean, they go.
I will say, Mary, we have people are very upset by it. There's people on the council that are upset. There's people in town that are upset. No one's happy about it, but he does have the legal right.
Oh, absolutely. No, I'm just saying, do you think that, have you tried to find out, are people feeling, do people feel safe, and do they feel that their neighbors are safe, regardless of
I personally don't know how we answer that question.
I've never heard of anybody feeling that they would not be treated equally by the first aid squad. I mean, I've had personal discussions on the subject as well, but you know, I understand his position.
Yeah.
I think he understands my position, but I don't think there's any intention to not.
Can I, as a person of color, say something?
No,
here?
I don't even know if we're allowed to ask that question.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean that's a real concern to go around to people and say, well, do you feel uncomfortable because of his politics or his, you know, a very touchy area.
May I?
I know it's a yeah.
May I?
Just
I understand Dan's got a flag, and Dan and I have personally discussed this, and I don't think either one of us have a problem with it.
Yeah.
Okay. I think if my house was on fire, he would come and his guys would come and put it out. Okay. I do have, and I've stated it publicly before, that in a municipal building or in a firehouse or something like that, as a public piece of property, as a municipal piece of property, I think the only flags that should be flying in there are the American flag, the POW/MIA flag, the New Jersey flag, and the Roosevelt flag. I think, you know, ISIS flags and KKK and Black Power flags and all of that is not necessary.
Neither the borough, there is no flag flying on or in the borough buildings.
No, that's my consideration.
Other than those flags.
And I don't necessarily feel threatened. I know these guys.
I'm not really trying to bring up the flag other than just do people feel safe and protected. That's basically... I know you can't survey everybody in town and ask them that.
It is a consideration. It's a consideration. I'm sure when I see it, when my son saw it, when people like that, it's like, oh, what is this? You know, so especially on public property, it makes you feel like them and us or something like that. You know, so
I'd just like to also add, if I might, that I don't think
there's some people who might be worried or concerned about it and concerned about some of the issues that Mary's addressing. And they wouldn't come to a public meeting necessarily and say, I'm afraid the fire chief who responds to calls sometimes in his vehicle with a Confederate flag on it might not put out my fire. They might be so fearful they wouldn't say anything about it. So I don't think that they, just because they haven't come to a meeting, doesn't mean that there's not that fear in the community or that kind of concern. And I thank Mary for addressing this concern. It's something that really hasn't come up, and I think we're really being really kind of afraid.
We're being politically correct about all of this.
Folks, I'm really uncomfortable with this conversation.
Well, let me just say one thing.
Because if we went around and said to people, and I walked up to her, and I walked up to him, and I walked up to him, and I said, how do you feel about that guy being on the fire department with his political beliefs? And they all said, you know what? It really scares me. Could somebody please tell me exactly what it is I'm allowed to do now? I mean, this is getting to be in the... we would not be allowed to turn around and say, oh, okay, well, we're going to fire you as fire chief, right? I mean, that would be illegal. So I'm not quite sure. I mean, everybody wants to talk about it, but number one, I'm not sure.
Let me just say one last thing. Dan and I have discussed this, and we have discussed that not many people, if any at all, have ever approached him about this aside from me. And I'm sorry, my family's from the South. I grew up in New Egypt here, and we talk about stuff like that. And again, I'm perfectly honest with you, and you would be honest with me, but not everybody will be this, you know, on the table the way you are and I am. So a lot of people fear conversations like that, and I'm sorry that they do, but we have a relationship, so, all right? So I understand what you're saying, Mary, but I don't know how in America we can get past it without discussing it either in public or in private. Dan and I have chosen to speak in private.
I don't know what there is to get past, so let me frame the question.
There's a lot to get past.
But there's nothing.
Sure. Yeah. I felt this guy is here. When good people don't say anything, that's the worst. So anyway, Martin Luther King Jr. picture up there. Can I ask you a question? Lenny had to go home. Could I just ask his question? From Lenny Hillis on Rochdale. What if the decision was made to go with Monroe? Let's say after 3 years it's too expensive and we don't want to do it. What would have happened to the fire trucks? I mean, it sounds like we don't know whether we would even have our firefighters.
They would be sold.
The fire trucks wouldn't even be available anymore, right? They would have been sold or they'd be gone. Okay.
I think one of the commissioners from Monroe stated quite emphatically that, you know, they would leave the price basically the same, unless we had some large increase in fire.
I disagree with that, but okay.
If we get to that point, that could be in a contract, I'm sure. So, yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Do you wish to talk, or are you just stretching?
John Lenart, 5 Elm Court again. Question for you. In the tent, can someone tell me which side the light switch is on, the left or the right or the front or the back?
And where?
The tent that the fire truck is in. Where's the light switch?
Never been in there.
You're the safety guy and you've never been in the tent? Mm-hmm. You ever been in the trailer?
I did go in the trailer. Look at
how come you haven't been in the tent?
I just opened the door and walked in.
Well, the tent, you could just, anybody can open the tent. You've never been in the tent?
No.
So you can't tell me where the light switch is?
Cannot.
How about you, Peggy? Mm-hmm. You ever been in a tent? How long's the tent been there?
I couldn't say exactly.
6 months.
I'd have to look at my notes.
Mm-hmm. You have to go to the financial officer to find that one out?
I have to look at my notes.
How about you, Mike? You know where the switch is, left or the right? You do rounds around the school at 5 in the morning.
No, I've never been in a lot of these facilities. I've been in...
We have that many? You call like 6 facilities a lot?
John, I'd just like to respond. I haven't been in that tent specifically.
Have you been in the trailer?
No.
Okay, how many facilities have you been in that we have so many?
Where are you going with this?
I'm just asking you, how many have you been in?
Where are you going with this?
Mike, answer the question.
Okay, he doesn't have to answer the question.
We have that many, he can't recall.
He doesn't necessarily have the right to answer.
I'm just, our safety people, you know, I just want to know, how many of these facilities have they been in?
And I
think the answer was...
Well, pretty much probably none, just the borough hall and maybe the school. But well, that's another question. We took a vote. The fire department's going to pick up the tab on our fundraising stuff. We're going to give you the $175 for the food. Now, we all took a vote, so we're going to pay for the sandwiches and the food. My other question is, what are you going to do Wednesday if it's a no vote? Because 8 o'clock in the morning, there's going to be 16 guys giving you pagers and keys back. So what do you have in place for Wednesday morning if it's a no vote? Because my phone's going to ring about 10, 11 o'clock on Tuesday night, and they're going to tell me it's a yes or a no. What are your plans and preparations? Surely you have an A plan. You have a backup B plan. And like us, we always have a C plan. What do you have in place? Because Wednesday morning, if it's no vote, you're not going to have a fire department. What do you have in place for the good people of Roosevelt?
Well, we're going to sign with either Millstone or Monroe.
When do you plan on doing that?
When? The same as you know, on Tuesday night.
So you're going to have a contract signed by Wednesday morning?
Probably.
Or Tuesday night? Where you have that in writing. Like, they're going to, you know, after Tuesday night, you have this, and it's all in place. Sounds to me like you don't have a plan.
It's all in place.
I believe what she just said was Monroe told her that Millstone would cover us. I've spoken to Millstone.
I just want to know
will.
What the plan is.
They
that's
probably
all.
Will.
No,
she can speak
for herself. I'm
using exactly your words.
Get over there and sign the contract. So if that takes 10 hours, 12 hours, 8 hours.
Okay, so 8:30 Wednesday morning, when one of them trees goes down, there's a water main break, or there is a chicken coop on fire, or a motor vehicle accident, they're going to automatically, Monmouth County is going to dispatch them out. You have that already in place.
Actually, John, I think there's a bigger problem. I'm going to explain contract, okay?
Okay, well,
we don't have a contract. We don't have a form of contract. Contract hasn't been negotiated. We would expect a contract to come in from Millstone. We'd expect a contract to come in from Monroe. Then it's got to be presented to the council on notice. Then the council has to consider it. Then they have to decide whether they want to sign that one or they want to go back and negotiate it. Then they have to decide which of those two companies they would be willing to. So we're not talking about 10 hours. We're talking about weeks. So let's be clear on the time frame. To negotiate what? We don't have a damn contract.
Hold on
a second.
This is
really out of order. I mean, what would
you're right.
happen?
You're right. Okay, public portion. I'm sorry. You're right.
I mean, you know.
I just want to know what you had in place.
I stand correct.
We have in place to be signed.
So you're basically you're telling me you have nothing in place.
I'm not saying that at all.
But that's what you're telling me.
Millstone has offered a contract. Monroe has offered a contract. We choose.
Okay, so Wednesday morning at 8:30, if something should happen, you have that covered, right?
Would you guys work with us until we get a contract?
Joe, I've been working with the town for 3 years. You think I'm going to give you another free day? I doubt it. None of my guys are going to give you a free day. That's it. We're done.
Okay.
We've waited. You can't even tell me where the light switch is. And you want? There is no light switch. We don't have light in the tent.
I've never been.
And you want me to sit there, work out of a trailer, work out of a tent, and you want me to give you more time?
Just asking.
I think I gave you the correct answer. Basically, you know what we're going to tell you.
Okay. Mr. Lauren, I do believe you've made your points.
Well, I'm just saying, I could make rounds real quick in every one of the borough buildings in one day. I don't need months to do that. I'm just making a point.
Okay.
And also... on our personal cell phones, when we get paged and our pagers, it doesn't say your religion, your race, or any of that.
I didn't.
And
think
I,
so.
You know what? If the fire was at your house, believe it or not, even Peggy's house and Mike's house, we'd still respond no matter who it is, because that's who we are. We might disagree with you, but we're still going to show up and give you 110%, because you're not going to break our hearts, and you can't do it. But it's nice to see you don't have anything in place. Thanks a lot for your time, and vote yes, people.
Is there anybody who would like to speak, or is everybody just falling asleep at this point? Okay. I've closed the public portion. Do I have a motion? Oh, I'm sorry. Do we need a...
None that I know of.
Exactly.
Okay. You'd be afraid to say it if you did. Okay. Did I have a motion to adjourn? Okay.
Motion to adjourn.
Michael moved.
Stacy moved, and I'll second.
Second.